Coming up on TMS, that pizza is really good.
Destiny is also pretty good.
Microsoft wants to build things with pixelated bricks.
Pardon me, but I think this set of bedsheets smells like horse pee.
Joan Rivers might have not had the best care ever.
Aw, 50 Shades of Grey has a way of making a man crazy.
Recommentals.
Jury duty.
I know, right? Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I bought the fresh stick, just as you told me. You're absolutely right. It's neat and quick, and it goes on dry. It did make me feel cool and sweet, just as you said. I did everything you said, but my boss still hasn't asked me to lunch.
Unlike some deodorants, Fresh doesn't guarantee you'll get ahead in business. All Fresh does is keep you fresh.
When you think of it, that's quite a lot.
You are inconsistent.
The Morning Stream. It's got chutzpah.
Yeah, I played the last music first. I know I did. I know that's for the middle of the show.
The Morning Stream.
I get it. I'm a little backwards today.
If
I got
only
some...
you knew how to use a soundboard.
You think 600 something shows later, almost 700, right?
Wow. Man, wow.
Creeping up on 700, dude.
Jeez.
Should we celebrate? No. I think we wait until, because the show's daily. You can't celebrate every milestone. I think we do it at 1,000. 1,000, we do something special, like we'll tack on an extra 10 minutes.
Wow. Holy way to give away the farm there.
I don't know. Maybe we should say that for 10,000.
You know, I never did figure out. I've got Coverville 10 years anniversary is coming up later this month, like on September 28th.
Mm.
And
yeah, what are you going to do? Nothing?
I've got nothing planned. It's like hard. It seems like a great milestone to celebrate. I mean, I celebrated 1,000. I celebrated 500.
Sure.
I will be in Vegas in October for the VIMF, Vegas Internet Mafia Family Picnic.
Oh, yeah. Veronica Von Belmont will be there that month. You should see if she'll be there. Oh. I think she's there. I want to say for Halloween, though. So it's the end of the month. I think earlier.
What a great time to go to Vegas.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm not kidding at all. I think that would be fantastic. Yeah.
I wonder what it's like. Did people go crazy there? Is a lot of Halloween dressing up and cosplay stuff going on?
I mean, you figure the people dress up like, you know, like crazy there anyway.
Yeah.
Then I figure it'd just be over the top.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That blows my mind that people would, there would be something big in Vegas during Halloween. That isn't just crazy people. Like, I'd be nervous the entire time that someone was going to eat somebody.
Right.
But I'll be there at Christmas. We'll see how that is. I assume that's nothing but joy and peace and love.
Of course. Sure.
All right. We got stuff today. We got things to do. Speaking of V. Belmont, I was on Daily Tech News Show yesterday breaking down all the Apple stuff.
Mm.
That's partly why it's not in the news here today, because in my head, I've already talked it to death.
Yeah.
But that's not entirely fair.
And if
everybody.
You want to hear what Scott thinks about it, then just go to DTNS.
Sure. But I want to know real quick what Brian thinks of a couple things. So I think the new phones are super hot and I totally want one.
Yeah. I'm going to be pre-ordering on Friday from AT&T.
Yeah. No problem. Got to do
it. And see, here's the thing.
Is that Friday? Oh, shite. I got to write that down. That's Friday.
It's Friday.
Okay.
So I skipped the 5S.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I went straight from the 5. Or I'm going straight from the 5 to the 6. I don't get every single iteration that comes out. You kind of, you know, because of
the family hand-me-down chain.
The family hand-me-down chain. Yeah. It really works well for you. Although Tristan is super excited. He's going to get in my 5.
Ooh.
Hopefully he can keep from cracking the crap out of that one.
Lucky bastard.
Exactly. But no, I'm super excited about the size, and I'm going to go big. I'm going to get the iPhone Plus. But
oh, I was going to ask you that. Now, have you held anything that big? Or are you worried at all?
Every day, Johnson.
Oh, the Everyday Johnson. Got it. All right.
The Everyday Johnson. Mm-hmm. No, what I'm going to do is before I plunk down my money officially, I'm going to take a piece of cardboard, stiff cardboard, cut it to the size of the phone, both the 6 and then the 6 Plus, and try those out and just see what I think. Because the neighbor's got a Samsung 5 Sport or whatever it is, the current new hotness.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to see how comfortable it is. I love this feature that lets you double tap the home button and all the icons move to the bottom of the screen so you can get at them easy with your thumb.
I love that.
If you're operating one-handed.
Yeah. That's cool. Like that. Lots of little cool interfacey things. Plus, the battery life on the big one is like exponentially better than the smaller one. There's a lot of reasons to go big, but then I don't know. I keep going back and forth because the other one is bigger too. Like when you look at the comparison shot of all three, these are substantially bigger than the five in both cases.
Oh yeah.
So I feel like maybe I am getting the bigger experience I want with that, the just six versus the plus. I don't know. You know what? You're going to have to tell me how your cardboard experiment goes.
I am. TVZ Guy actually just posted a link to, I guess, an Ars Technica template that you can print out that's got the sizes of all three, the 5, the 6, and the 6 Plus. You can compare. So that's awesome.
By the way, I see Ziggurat in the chat today. Ziggurat and I played Destiny last night.
Did you?
We did. And it was on the heels of playing with you. Let me, you know what? Okay. So, yes to the phone. Great. Looks awesome. Awesome upgrade. Beautiful new design. Blah, blah, blah.
And I will say, yes, I will be picking up one of those damn watches.
Are you going to get the watch? Now, let me ask you a question.
And here's the thing. I'm tired of people. Well, I mean, all right. Apple even calls it a watch.
Yeah. They're literally calling it watch.
You're calling it Apple Watch.
Yeah. Right. And on the website, they have an entire category now that is simply the word watch.
Just watch.
Yeah. And every time I go there, I just want to see a movie or something. But anyway.
And when you say to somebody, it's like, oh, yeah, you're going to pick, oh, yeah, the $350 Apple Watch, huh? You're one of those sheeple? You're going to pick one of those up? If you call it a watch, yeah. But I mean, all right, it's a thing that keeps me from, when I'm driving, having to get my phone out of my pocket if it starts buzzing.
Yeah.
I can see what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm looking at it as an interface thing. And yeah, all right, it's...
Part of it, look, no need to apologize to me. I'm the biggest, like, ooh, I want the latest Snagit gadget.
Yeah.
I am with you 100%. But in this one particular case, I'm actually kind of having a hard time justifying it. Normally, I just go, I'm all in. And the reason I'm having a hard time is not because it doesn't look cool or have cool functionality or isn't seem like a super rad implementation, because it does. Sure. It seems like the smartwatch to get if there is any to get. However, I haven't worn a watch for about 10 years. And you want to know why?
Why?
Because I can count. I've lost a number of the number of fingers required to remind me how many times I've gotten into a shower with a watch that isn't waterproof.
Oh, no, and ruined it.
Or smacked it against something and broken it, or lost it, or forgotten it. Now, maybe it'd be different because this thing's, you know, different in that way or whatever.
I don't know.
So I don't know if a watch is... In other words, it isn't about their watch. It's about watches, period, for me.
Yeah.
They just don't do anything for me, especially now that I've got a phone with me all the time. I just know what time it is.
Like, sure.
The watch part, I mean. The rest of the functionality, I just have to go, well, all right, what am I really going to get out of this freaking thing? I don't know yet. You know what? Here's the problem. The probable truth is I'll probably get one because I'm a dumbass.
Exactly.
But if not, at least I know you'll be there to...
I'll be able to tell you, oh, dude, don't get one. This thing sucks.
Yeah, guinea pig that thing for me.
It's turned my wrist green. No, I wear watches all the time, and I've got a Pebble, and, you know, I like how there's some connectivity to the Pebble to the iPhone.
Yeah.
Not enough to make me happy, because it's still like, you know, if it buzzes in my pocket, I look over, it's like, oh, a little Facebook notification. But you can't do anything with it. You can look at it and say, okay, I get a Facebook notification, but you can't, like, dismiss or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I have the Fitbit. I didn't get a Fitbit. What is it? I have the Nike.
The fuel band with its mysterious space points that make no sense.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, that is exciting. That fitness stuff looks really well implemented on this thing. That charger looks awesome. They didn't say how long the battery life is. I think that's strategic because maybe it's bad right now until they're ready early next year.
Sure.
I don't know. There's a lot to like. Like I said, there's a ton to like there. It's super customizable. There's like a ton of stuff to do. And I like how they're also approaching it from the angle of, we know there are a lot of people out there that really take like the banding and that kind of stuff seriously, the coloring and the leather types and all that. And they seem to be trying to fulfill all those dreams as well. So good on them. Beautiful thing. I just don't know if I need it yet. And also, do I need another thing reminding me all the time of stuff that is just distracting me?
Well, yeah, there's that.
That part.
Yeah.
I got to cut back as it is.
And I will say, I mean, the price point is the only thing that is really keeping me on the fence of like, all right. I mean, again, I'm probably going to get one.
Starting at $350, by the way. Starting.
Yeah, starting.
Yeah, and, that means a brand new category of theftable item in the country. I'm
right, excited exactly.
about that.
Yeah, but I do. You know, I have this.
What do you got there?
I have this and I like it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What are you telling me about this?
There's my current Apple Watch.
Good Lord.
This is...
Hey, oh, nice. Wait, what is this?
This is
iPod Nano.
It's my iPod Nano, and this thing was a Kickstarter, this watch band.
No way. See, you're just a nerd for this stuff.
I'm a nerd for this stuff, and yeah.
We're basically Dick Tracy's
Whatever.
Now.
Whatever. Send in your sheep.
Complain all you want,
lemmings,
everybody.
Comment and whatever.
Whatever. People usually say that are just as sheepy and lemony or lemmingly as they are for their Android thing or whoever. It's just whatever. Quit being so brand crazy, everybody. You like, don't like what you don't, and shut the hell up.
It's a tool. It's not a status symbol. It's a tool. You don't go to the store and say, well, I need something to put nails in, but I'm only going to buy something by Milwaukee
Makita. That's why I'm worried about this thing, because it's a tool, but it's a tool to just distract me. It's a tool I maybe don't need.
Yeah.
This is like Mark Spagnuolo buying another saw. He's got plenty of those. And that's what I'm worried about. All right. I got to tell you something funny. So we're playing.
It's like Destiny.
Yeah, we played Destiny yesterday. And I didn't know I was going to play with you, but I was hopping in, just goofing around, doing whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was having trouble on a fight. In fact, the fight that you and I won or beat.
Oh, really?
I was struggling in there. And
oh, good. Then I'm glad I could help.
So I popped into a public game. You just happened to be doing the same thing I was doing.
Right.
And I hopped over onto your fire team. And here's what I heard the entire time. When I got on, okay? I get in with Brian. I played with other people before this in the beta and otherwise, but I didn't know what to expect. I get in and here's what I hear. Everything that's coming out of my speakers, I'm hearing come out of your speakers, but in this delay and with a giant room mic gain sound.
Oh, you were hearing probably stuff from the PS4 microphone, from the camera.
It must have been, because it was so freaking loud. It sounded like a plane was taking off the entire time.
Right.
So anytime Peter Dinklage, the little voice of Peter Dinklage, would come on, he'd go, oh, I don't know what this is. I need to scan the deal. And then I'd hear, I don't know what that is. I need to scan the deal. And then on top of that, I'd hear, ooh. I could hear this in the background going, oh, I think that's Scott. Hey, Scott's in our game right now. Hey, Scott's in our game. And it was you talking to Tristan.
Tristan, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And I could hear him going, oh, cool. That's awesome, Dad. Like this whole, but it was in that kind of, hey, we're in a hole somewhere kind of voice.
Right.
And yet it was all just so over, just a wall of sound just coming at me from all angles. And I thought, all right, I'm going to bear it. I'm going to grin it. Because this is the funniest part. I can't find my little microphone that came with the PS4 that lets you talk to everybody, the little earpiece thing. So,
oh, there was one that came with it. That's right.
Yeah, the little blue one or whatever. It got lost, of course, because it's tiny. Oh, yeah. And we had just moved when I got it and all that. And I'm scouring the house for it. I can't find it anywhere. So I'm literally, there was a part where you were probably wondering what the heck I was doing. But I was up running around trying to find this thing so I could say, hey, Brian, good to see you. Awesome. Hey, turn that thing down or whatever, you know, just so we could have like a more whatever experience. Right. And I couldn't find it. So then I hear you going, well, I don't know how to talk to him. I can't figure out how to say it. And I'm thinking, you are talking to me. I just can't say anything back. I was like this mute friend. And we killed that dude. And it was such a crazy bunch of sound. Then someone came to the door. I had to go.
Oh, funny.
I was going to just call you on your phone. I didn't even think of that while we were doing it.
You should have done that, yeah.
Somehow I had this feeling that he and I cannot communicate. We are completely separated.
Yeah, but you know what you'd hear then? Because I'd have to put you on speaker.
I would have heard triple echo. Yeah.
You would have heard triple echo.
That would have been really bad. But it just didn't occur to me that, hey, I've got these 12 other ways I talk to Brian all the time. I'll just use one of those. It didn't even dawn
on
me.
Of course.
So I get out of there. I go do what I got to do. And I come back and I get on and I played with Ziggurat in our chat room. I think it's the same guy. I assume it's the same Ziggurat.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he had the same problem. He's like, hello, how's it going? And I'm like, ugh, all I can do is dance and wave. You know, so I danced.
I don't even know how to do that. Use the touch sensor.
No,
okay.
It's a little D-pad.
Oh, the D-pad. Okay.
Yeah, left. I think. Let's see. Right is dance. Up is salute. Left is wave, and then you can push down to sit for some reason.
Yeah, I did that. Like right when I saw you, I'm like, oh, there's Scott Johnson, and I just sat down.
I should have streamed you and me in there because Thorin's saying he wishes that was recorded, and if we would have streamed it, it would have been that way. But anyway, so. I hung around with Ziggurat for a while, and I played a bunch with him, and then I played a bunch solo, and I've played two characters thus far. Here is my assessment so far of that game, and I'm going to share a whole bunch more of this on the final score tonight, so I won't bore everybody with it too much. But
can't wait to hear that.
I think it is really fun with other people. Really, really fun with other people. Here are the positives. That, and I think they've designed the game to be that way, to be more fun with other people. I think the graphically, excuse me, tonally, sound work, music, voice acting, all that stuff, really awesome. I think it's a beautiful game. I think it sounds amazing. I love the feel of it. I like the weird masks. That guy at the home base is, you know, giving you all his talk and advice. If you play the weird glowy eye alien character between the robot and the human, his voice is the same voice as the wizard in Diablo, which cracks me up to hear him talking.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Kind of gave me the willies there for a minute. He doesn't say rude things like, I'm so powerful they won't know what hit them, or any of that bullcrap he says. And he's a real ass in Diablo.
Did Liam O'Brien do anything for this?
I don't think so. I asked him some time ago, and I think he told me no. I could be wrong, though. He may have done some grunts and, you know, some dying aliens. He does that a lot. By the way, though, he is Gollum in the new Shadows of Mordor Lord of the Rings game.
Oh, wow.
And he did apparently does such an amazing job, everyone just assumes it's Andy Serkis. And I've heard him do that voice on, like, Skype before. He's incredible. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Oh, he does a really good drunk Gandalf. Have you heard that before?
I think you played, didn't you play an Instagram or a Vine or something of him?
I might have. I'm going to play it here. It's on my phone. It's actually on the PlayStation app. I'll share this with everybody here just for funsies. Hold on. Messages. Okay. We got one here from Liam O'Brien. Here we go. And I believe this is his drunk. Oh, come on. What are we doing here? Come on, PlayStation app. Oh, there we go. All right. His is his drunk. What do you call it? What did I just say his name? Gandalf.
Drunk Gandalf.
Okay.
Drunk Gandalf.
Here you go. Okay. I'm playing it. Here we go.
I would like to talk to you about hobbies. They're always taking your pipe wage and they never give it back. You shall not.
As it just trails off. Isn't that awesome? He's such a guy. So awesome. Anyway, I don't know if he's in this one or not, but I think all that stuff is amazing. So, and I also think the shooting is solid and all of that. Here are my problems with the game. It is super grindy. And if you're playing by yourself, I think it's far less compelling. It's just kind of a grind. You go to a lot of the same areas. There are only, four total planets to go to? Not even planets. One's the moon. So there's very limited environmental change kind of when you're out there fighting. Okay. I find that kind of obnoxious. But again, with friends, that's probably a smaller problem. I think my biggest issue with the game is that the pacing just feels a little bit weird to me. And I like a game where I can just get in by myself if I want to, you know. And I'm not having nearly as much fun as when I say, even when I played with you, Brian, Wall of Sound Brian over there, it was better than by myself. And the load times are kind of atrocious. Other than that, it's pretty solid. Oh, and I don't like that they make you start your character. If you do a new character, like say you're using a warlock and you're having fun, but you want to make one of those hunter dudes, you got to go through the entire opening story stuff again, and you can't skip it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's annoying.
Oh, that is annoying.
That's a small thing, but, you know, whatever. But on the whole, solid piece of work, especially multiplayer. Single player, I just think it's a little not great single player. Plus, the difference between difficulty, between you doing it solo and then me joining up with you, night and day.
Oh, yeah. No, I had a blast when I was playing with you. There was another guy who jumped in for a while, so he probably heard me too. Like, yeah, who's this son of a bitch?
Totally.
It is a different game when you've got somebody playing with you, although I really enjoyed it. And maybe it's just because I was so disappointed with Watch Dogs that playing this was like, this is the gaming experience I love.
This is more your jam. And I like the progression. I like, you know, the loot is cool and just leveling up and getting new abilities. All that stuff I love. So they had me at that. And I'm not like, this is not a huge negative review for me by any means. I just wish it was a little more compelling on my own as much as it is with playing with other people.
Sure.
I love playing with other people, but I do like me some just let me just get in and go kind of action in a game. And I think Borderlands is probably the better example of that kind of game versus this. So anyway.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I never got into Borderlands. I think Tristan had it and For whatever reason, I just never really gave it a shot, never tried it. But if it's like this, but better, then might have to check that out too.
Loved it. All right. I ate a whole pizza last night, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
No way.
Yeah, it's my wife's fault. I'm going to blame her. She went to this new place called something Limon Pizza something. I don't know if it's a chain or not.
Yeah.
Fantastic pizza. Really, totally my style of pizza. It's so good. It's thinner. It is healthier, thinner pizza. And she got me one that doesn't have a bunch of meat or anything on it. It was like a good vegetarian-y kind of pizza. But it's the kind of pizza that's so good. And it was big. It was like a 12-inch, you know, or something like that pizza. I just ate the whole thing in like 10 minutes. Just wolfed it down.
Scott.
Brian, I'm not allowed to do that anymore. I'm not supposed to do that. I know.
Bad, Scott. Bad.
It's still in there right now, making some kind of terrible future for me right now. So, yeah, I ate a whole pizza, and that's all I'll say about that.
Oh.
I don't recommend it. Although I do recommend that pizza place. Cafe Limon? Lemon? It's not Cafe Lemon. That wouldn't be right.
That would be kind of
super stupid.
That'd be a dumb name.
Yeah, I'm no expert on names, but I think that's a dumb name. All right, we're gonna add Daryl to this chucklehead fest we're having, and proceed with caution. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by.
Travelers of Storia is a brand new 1-4 player fully cooperative dungeon crawling board game. Ooh. It's an addicting and unique hybrid of elements from both Magic the Gathering and Dungeons and Dragons. Hey, those are both kind of cool things. Watch tutorial videos and join the forums for the game at Travelers of Storia. That's Storia. Travelers of Storia.com. Support the Kickstarter coming soon.
You know what I noticed? They didn't at the Apple event.
Yeah.
I could have sworn. Everybody's big rumor was that this would have been the one where they were going to show off our and to go with the new phone. Mm-hmm. Fantastic new Beats headphones.
Oh, yeah, right.
Head style thing. First collaboration between Apple and Beats now. And we're going to have new earbuds for those things. And they didn't do it. That now that I think about it, that's a really weird thing they didn't do.
I'm just glad that the rumors of there not being a headphone jack were false, that everything was going to come out of the Lightning port.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad that wasn't the case.
Yeah, they would never do that. That'd be so stupid.
Exactly.
How dumb would that be? The whole world would have to switch their... Yeah. In fact, if anything, they showed some real backwards compatibility thinking here with the iWatch working all the way back to the 5, which is nice. I was afraid that was going to be a 6 and forward thing, but no, they're like, you know what? We got an install base. Why not make it work with the watch? Daryl Skeels, are you there?
I am.
Daryl is doing the potato challenge today. No, there's no potato challenge.
What?
We are not doing a potato challenge. We are doing a Star Trek challenge. Daryl comes on the show each and every day and does a Star Trek trivia question. Today is no damn different. Daryl, how was your day? Are you good? How you feeling?
It just barely started, so I don't know yet.
Well, let me think if one of the cheapest guys I know in this whole world is going to get an iWatch for an Apple Watch for $350. Probably not, is my guess.
If you gave it to me for free, I would not take it. I do not want anything on my wrist. I would slice my wrist off to get things off of my wrist if something was on there.
That seems extreme, but sure. You're kind of where I'm at. And it's not that, again, I feel like the original interface is flawed. They ended up on our wrists in the first place, these timepieces, out of convenience and various other reasons. But it doesn't feel like, what's it like? It's like... I can't think of another good example, but it's like human interface stuff that was never great in the first place.
Yeah.
And now we're forcing a new way of doing all of this onto a place that was never an optimal place to put things. They get in your way.
Like in the 1800s when they would put a leech on your face because it was the only way to do whatever they needed to do. Well, you wouldn't do that now.
Yeah, yeah. And Veronica, by the way, is all enraged because she's a lefty. And she doesn't like how she's going to have to use that thing because she puts them on her right hand.
Yeah, so do I. I'm a lefty too. And MacCast, good old Adam, confirmed that you will be able to put it upside down on your right wrist and then use the interface to switch it around. So the only thing you're dealing with is that the little crown will be below the button, but that's no big deal at all.
Now that is where Veronica takes umbrage with your statement. She would say that is a big deal and she hates that.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. She was all mad yesterday. She was all freaked
out. Veronica.
I shouldn't say she was enraged. She was fine. She's actually kind of excited about the device, but she doesn't like
it. She hit her enraged timer at 5 minutes.
Yeah,
right?
She does. She turned all red and got big, and my shot wouldn't work. Trank shot wouldn't work. But she says she just doesn't like that there's a concession to make for a lefty. And I understand that. I think they should just make it so the thing just flips over. Just turn it around. Why not? Why is that so hard?
That's not hard at all. And, God, you know, I don't have many. I'm a lefty too. So a lot of the watches I wear on my right wrist, or all the watches I wear on my right wrist. And aside from this, you know, the Apple, the Nano that I've got stuck in a little case.
Yeah.
None of them will let you flip the watch upside down and wind it the other way. So I mean, that's a convenient thing.
Well, here's my idea. Daryl, tell me what you think of this. No wrists, okay? Because you and I both agree. Kind of sucks having something on your wrist. How about instead I go all Flavor Flav and then build a smartwatch I can hang around my neck? How about that? And a big one, too. I'm talking like a big old clock. You know?
How do you see it, though? You'd have to pick it up every time.
And I'd say, what time is it, boy? And everybody could look at me. I don't know. It's weird because I used to do this with actual watches. I'd take the bands off when I was younger, and I would figure out a way to put a chain on it, and I would wear it around my neck. Like old school, like some kind of weird old English gentleman. I'd have a watch in my pocket or around my neck or whatever. And then when a phone came along, I'm like, well, that also goes in my pocket. Never need a watch again. Not now, though. All right, Daryl, let's get to your question. Star Trek question, ahoy. We're going to do it from a clip, or as Mike calls it, a clip-clop. Which episode does this clip-clop come from? Man, that lady at Snowbird just keeps on giving. You know?
I know. She is the gift the gift that keeps on giving.
Never stops giving. We love her. She's great.
In the Utah?
I know. Anywhere you go, you're great. Don't worry about us being in Utah. Daryl, here's your clip. Hold on, I want to play. What's going on here? Okay, here we go. What episode is this from?
It's not bad enough there's already one serpent in Eden teaching one side about gunpowder. You're going to make sure they all know about it.
Exactly. Each side receives the same knowledge and the same type of firearm.
Have you gone out of your mind?
My gosh, he was a spaz back then. I guess that was the point. Is that a clip from A, Friday's Child, B, Day of the Dove, C, The Private Little War, or A Private Little War, sorry, D, Errand of Mercy? It's one of those.
Ooh.
Those are original series episodes, as you may have surmised. Daryl, while you ponder that in your head, are you hungry?
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Why don't we open, let's do Daniel's box again.
Yeah.
I got to pick it up with my feet because I'm too lazy.
That's amazing. That's quite a feat.
There we go. I like that joke.
We're getting into the stuff that really worries me. Like, we've eaten the things that don't worry me as much.
I'm with you, dude. We have ruled out the barbecued. I feel like the barbecue on a stick thing, though. Barbecued fish on a stick.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the very spirit of this segment.
Oh, God, really?
You know what I mean? Like, it's too easy to say, oh, I'll have this nicely factory packaged with an expiration date, you know, piece of candy. That seems like the easy route. When they give us a Ziploc with Sharpie writing that says BBQ fish on a stick, and in there is three terrible looking things on sticks, that seems like that.
You know what? Be my guest. I'm not going to do it. And it's not because I don't trust. I just don't trust the method of shipping and refrigeration and.
Well,
it's fish. That's fish on a stick.
The ones that say crispy rolls. I mean, I couldn't do this one if I wanted because it's destroyed. The mail destroyed it.
What about? Do you have the little De La Rosa hockey puck?
Oh, it that looks like a marzipan thing.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. You know what? Okay. Daryl, how daring are you? Do you want to do a fish on a stick or no?
I will nibble the corner of one.
All right, so that's all I'm going to do. So, okay, Daryl and I will nibble the corner of a barbecued fish on a stick, and we'll do this De La Rosa.
You guys are brave.
Well, I feel like I need to take one for the team. This crispy roll stuff, though, is completely hammered.
Oh, I don't want to nibble a corner now.
Is it bad?
Oh. a little bit of a smell to it.
Does it stink?
That's stinky.
All right, let me check. I don't get. Oh. Yeah. That's like everybody on the Deadliest Catch, it's their feet at the end of a busy day.
Yeah. There we go. That's exactly where I'm done. See?
Hold on. Mine are stuck together. Are yours stuck together?
No.
Mine are not loose.
Oh, two of them are stuck together. Yeah.
My all three are fused. Okay, there we go.
Oh, there's some goo stretching between them as I pull them apart. Like alien slobber or something.
Look at this, chat. Look at that thing. It's like bacon on a stick to me.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to lick it, I think. I don't know if I can chew it. All right, here goes.
I've smelled it. I think that's enough for me.
Which is not bad. That's weirdly not bad.
Okay.
I mean, you have to take my word for it, but yeah, I don't hate that. I you know, having a Korean two sisters and a brother, we ate a lot of food from the Oriental Market. That's what they called it. I know they don't like the term Oriental anymore, everybody. I know it's a rug. I get it. But that's what they used to call this market we went to. It was the Oriental Market.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's still an okay term. Isn't it Oriental Market?
I don't think so. I don't think they like the Oriental.
If you're describing
anymore.
A thing, then I think it's okay. If you're describing a person, then yeah, you want to go Asian. But
yeah, I think they changed it to Asian Market because they were worried about what that meant now. I think people are so nervous about offending anyone.
Wow. Okay.
So I think they got rid of it.
There you go.
Okay.
I bit a corner.
It's okay.
I'll just... Yeah, I guess.
I mean, that's barely fish. Like, what fish did that come from?
I know. It's like a corrugated something.
Yeah, if a fish saw this, you know what the fish would say? The fish would say, I see nothing that offends me here.
Sure.
Because he doesn't...
Except for the stick. Except for the stick up...
old Larry's butt. Oh, Larry, what did they do to you, buddy?
Oh, I hope they... killed you before they shut that stick.
It puts the lotion on the skin. All right, so we've done that. That's out of our lives. Let's move on to the Della Rosa. What's this again?
Smell the Della Rosa.
It's like weighty. It feels very dense.
Yeah, it's marzipan. It's going to be peanut marzipan as opposed to almond marzipan, apparently.
Oh, so is it marzipan? Is it marzipan or marzipan?
Marzipan.
Okay. Ooh, it's chalky. And doughy.
Yeah, it smells much better than the fish.
Yeah,
it
smells like peanut butter a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a big hunk is what I'm getting off that.
Oh, yeah, totally big hunk. Yep.
Yep.
Perfect. Well done. Mm.
Does a big hunk have marzipan in it?
Hmm. No, it does not.
All right.
Oh, that's much better than the fish.
You know, that's pretty good.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's a little concentrated.
Like marzipan is... typical marzipan is almond. This is peanut. So yeah, it's a little bit like halva, which I think is like Polish or Hungarian, which is like a sweet.
It's super concentrated. Like, I feel like I'm... Ooh.
If you push this in your hands, you could probably use it in mold making. It's like a prop.
Yeah. Totally could. It's like tongue. It's like tongue kissing Willy Wonka a little bit. Ooh, that's powerful business. All right.
Well done. That was a great place to go with that.
The dark, dark, windy road. All right. Oh, okay. Whatever. The fish wasn't that bad. I stand by that. Was not the worst thing I ever put in my mouth. Let's move on. Two birthdays. Birthdays, Daryl. What do we got today?
Birthdays. Oh, that would be our friend, what's his name? Jerry Conway.
Oh.
Is 62 today.
Correct. Creator of Punisher. Co-creator of The Punisher and Power Girl.
And murderer of Gwen Stacy.
Yeah, murderer of Gwen Stacy. Will go down as the person who killed Gwen Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
Also a friend of the program. Super nice guy. He's been listening to various Frog Pants stuff since ELR days. And super sweet guy. He's really cool.
And he was a writer for the Star Trek comic strip in 1983.
Oh, I did not know that. And there's the Star Trek connection right there.
Very good.
I thought you were just being nice and saying, hey, it's a good friend's birthday. But no, there's more to it than that. He also wrote some Hunter episodes. You remember Hunter? Guy had patches on his arms, kind of like...
DC or Marvel?
No. TV show, Hunter.
Oh,
yeah,
oh, oh.
That sounds familiar.
He solved crime.
He was like Mark Singer or something, right?
Maybe. Is that the name? I don't know the guy's name. But there was a show called Hunter, and it was basically like a combination of Oh, Magnum P.I. meets...
Fred Dreyer. That's
Fred Dreyer, that's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wrote some episodes
Sergeant
of that.
Rick Hunter. And Stephanie Kramer is D.D. McCall.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. I like him.
Charles Hallahan as Captain Charlie Devane.
Wow. That show kind of sucked, honestly. But his episodes were good. And he's how old did you say? How old is Jerry now?
62.
Oh, he barely seems a day over 28. Well, congratulations, Jerry. Let's move on to your question now, Daryl.
And he's on Twitter, and you can follow him there, too.
Yeah, Jerry Conway.
And Steve Hammaker, Mark Singer was Beast Hunter, but I'm thinking there was some cop-style TV show that in the 80s that Mark Singer was on as well.
Oh, that Mark Singer.
Yeah.
Oh, dang it.
When you look at the guy's face.
Ugh.
V. Oh, he was V. That's right. It was.
Yeah, he watched somebody eat a gopher.
He did.
In V.
Pulled their face off.
I'm looking at him now. He kind of scared me, I have to tell you. Just a tiny bit. He got old. I mean, we all get old. I understand that.
Yeah.
But sure. Let's see. What else has he done? Eagle Eye in 2008. V, Beastmaster. Mm-hmm. And he was in the V. Oh, he was in the new V reboot that didn't do very well.
Yeah, they pulled back a lot of people for that. Jane Badler was in there. And I want to say that, maybe they didn't talk to Freddy Krueger. What's his face?
I love this part. He was in Silk Degrees.
Oh, yeah.
Sirens. And then Animated Stories from the Bible. And then Beastmaster 3. Yeah. He had an interesting career.
Yeah, I'm not seeing any other TV shows that he was that would fit that description.
Dude's in he's at a lot of cons. Was in Salt Lake.
Mark Singer?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, he was in Salt Lake either this year or last year, I can't remember.
Yeah, Robert England. Yep. Yeah. That's who I was
Robert England.
Of.
Freddy Krueger. Yeah.
Yep. That's what I was thinking of from V that did not appear in the new reboot series.
He's like Hugh from the Borg. He was the nice alien, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
They weren't all bad. They weren't all eating gophers behind everyone's back.
Way to turn this back to Star Trek so that we actually have a connection to finally ask Daryl if he's figured out the answer to this question.
Yeah. What was that clink? What was that clink from? Hogan's Heroes. No.
Clip flop.
Was it A, Friday's Child, B, Days of the Dove, Day of the Dove, geez. C, A Private Little War, or D, Errand of Mercy?
Oh, these are all very related. Errand of Mercy. What was that one? Errand of Mercy. I don't know. I know it. I just can't link the name to it. Anyway, let's see. Friday's Child is the one where they had the blades and they threw them. And that's where Red Shirt died.
Okay. Marple or who?
No, it wasn't Marple. I don't remember his name.
All right.
But they threw blades in that one.
All right.
Day of the Dove was they fought on the Enterprise because this energy being made them all mad.
Yeah, I remember that one.
A Private Little War is probably the right answer. And Errand of Mercy, now that's really bugging me. Errand of Mercy, I know that one. I'm having a weird brain thing because I didn't sleep last night.
Oh. And why no sleepy? What happened there?
Oh, I woke up at 3 a.m. and then just laid there.
No, I hate that. I do that.
That sucks. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we all do that. It's an age thing, man. I don't like it. I hate it. I couldn't tell you the last time I felt like I had a perfect night's sleep. It's been years since I've felt that way.
Wow. Yeah. Jeez. Not good.
Probably 3 or 4 years. Yeah. When I say perfect night's sleep, I mean sleep solid, don't wake up a bunch of times, don't every little noise doesn't wake me up, wake up feeling refreshed. That doesn't happen anymore. When's the last, I don't even know what that's like. You know, I want to be Nick. My son, just plop down, he's out, and you got to drag him out. It's fantastic. Yeah. I wish I was that. I don't do that.
That's like 14-hour days or nights.
Yeah, they say they need more, but I don't think they need that much more. Mm-mm. In fact, didn't we talk about that on the show? There was some study saying... they don't actually need the 10 everyone thought they did.
Right, exactly. 8 is just fine.
8 is enough, right? Ah! Dick Van Patten, plenty. Plenty of Dick Van Patten.
Enough to fill our lives with love.
Yeah. Oh, you remember the theme. I just know the one brother was from Zapped and then later Charles in Charge.
Right.
Those two Aaron guys Ames. Could not get enough of each other. I heard they were secretly doing it. That's what I heard. I'm making that up. And you don't know why. Right. They could have been taking a craft class together. I don't know. At the community college.
Could have been anything. Could have been something harmless.
Yeah,
sure.
You guys, minds are together. All right, Daryl. What do you think?
Okay. Let's just go with A Private Little War.
You think that's the one?
I think so.
All right. Well, let's find out. Is it?
Congratulations.
It is.
You're a winner.
In that episode, the Klingons, minus the dumb head bumpy heads, are providing advanced weapons to a Stone Age civilian. Kirk thinks by providing their enemies with the same weapons, this will level the playing field. Oh, that's great. What a wonderful Star Trek moment that must have been. Way to go, Daryl. You've nailed it. That means, let's see, what's today, Wednesday? You've gotten it right 3 days in a row, right?
Yeah.
No, I think he missed a day.
Did he? No,
I think you're thinking of when he played the wrong answer thing by mistake.
Oh, yeah, yesterday.
Maybe that's it. Yes.
Yeah, I did that yesterday like an idiot. Right. You know, I never do that. Like this morning's theme where I played the middle show part. Yeah, I never do that.
You know, those guys over at the morning stream can show you how to use a soundboard.
Here, people that don't know, you're new to the show.
So they'll clip that and put it on their show and show you how to use a soundboard.
How to use a soundboard.
Yeah.
Well, they'll show you how to use a soundboard.
Yeah, and then Curry
all of a sudden I'm a cabbie from the Bronx.
Where you want to go?
Here's one. The morning stream.
Adam Curry, founder of podcasting. Everybody,
right. And what's MC Hammer doing?
Yeah,
you know the guy's got talent.
Yeah, I know.
Inventor of the iPod.
That's right. all right. Well, thank you very much.
Can you call me back?
Yeah, it's fine.
Bye bye. Thank you. You have a good day.
All right. Talk to you later, Daryl. Good job. You've done it, and we're going to kick you out now. Daryl's the Trek nerd. He's also on This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast, and now he'll give us a game of sorts.
Okay. And before that, Aaron DeMercy is the one with the Organians. I had to look that up. It was torturing me. Hmm. Anyway.
Organians. Hmm. Gotcha.
Starship or brand of glasses?
Ooh, let's give you a little Scotty for that.
Ah, Jason.
All right, go ahead.
Agincourt.
Agincourt?
Agincourt. I've seen that name, too.
I have, too.
Wait,
this Star Trek thing, or what was the other?
Brand of eyewear.
Still eyewear. Okay. Agincourt.
Agincourt.
We have been 0-3 on this so far.
No. We got yesterday's, the Swarovski.
Oh.
The crystals.
The reason I remember it wrong is...
The crystalline entity glasses.
Right.
What was this secretion from crystals you rub on your thing or something? What is that?
I don't know.
That you were talking about.
What?
Crystals. You said they were crystals you rub on your...
Your penis?
No. It's like Swarovski slathers everything with crystals. Like they give you a crystal-encrusted iPod case or a crystal-encrusted golf club protection
sock. It's like bling or whatever. It is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fanciful.
You've seen there. If you do a search for that, you'll see everything they do is like crystals all over the damn place.
Daryl thought we were rubbing it on stuff.
It was my use of the word slathers probably was.
Yeah.
It's a good word, though. I like it. Made me happy to hear it.
Indulgence.
I don't know. I don't know how to do this one because I feel like
excellence.
This could go either way. Because I feel like I'm being tricked
Agincourt. I will say I would lean towards the Star Trek thing. The USS Agincourt.
Yes. Colonel Admiral Weapons Butthole down. Is on there and he's here to tell us what for. All right. We're going to go Star Trek.
Well, you can buy your Agincourt starships.
See? Nice.
Right turn.
That was a terrible right turn.
It really was.
You can buy. Let me just take the gun.
On your face, you might look at a TV screen that is showing a Star Trek episode with...
Good Lord.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Oh, it's the news.
And it's brought to you by The Edge of Forever, the Star Trek podcast. Join Michael David Sims and Dan Toland on their 12-year mission to cover every episode and movie of every series of Star Trek, starting with The Cage. Join them as they count red shirt death tolls, racism, sexism, and ripped shirt Kirkism. Head over to earth2.net. That's earth-2.net. And subscribe to The Edge. Oh, hold on. Subscribe to The Edge of Forever.
Oh, I love it. That's a good use of that. You should pop that out occasionally for this.
Every once in a while.
Microsoft is said to be in talks to acquire Minecraft.
Wow.
Minecraft and its company, Mojang.
Way to pick up on that during the apex of popularity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are wanting to spend $2 billion.
Wow.
To purchase Mojang, Notch's little fledgling startup that has now sold over 58 million copies of Minecraft and is a very, very profitable developer. They are in advanced talks to acquire the maker of the game Minecraft for more than $2 billion. People briefed on the discussions said on Monday, or rather Tuesday, that was yesterday. The move was intended to ensure that one of the most popular video games of all time is part of the computing giant's family of on their family of devices. I don't know why they were worried about that. They're already on all their devices, yeah. But whatever.
So do they just want to be able to say, oh, guess what? You're not going to get to be on the iPad anymore or something like that.
I don't think so. I think their plan would be to make all the money that comes from selling it on all the platforms it sells on and to grow the brand and to make it bigger and whatever. It does say people close to the talk say it's likely that Notch. Now, this part does not surprise me, that Notch would likely make the deal. He's the one that approached them, by the way. This is the weird bit. They didn't come to him. He approached Microsoft during their whole, like, getting it on Xbox and let's do well there and all this stuff. Yeah. And he had a really good experience over there, apparently, because that thing sold like bananas on the Xbox and is doing well now on other platforms. And he, mobile especially, they're killing it on mobile. But they, I think what happened, I think here's what I truly believe is going on. If you follow that guy on Twitter or you've kind of follow his whole thing with his company and kind of his general attitude and everything, mm-hmm. I sense there is a guy there that would really prefer to be quietly left alone to make things and does not and has never liked this extreme spotlight. He does not mm-hmm. like it.
Right, I'm sure.
I get that feeling. Now, I could be wrong, but it definitely comes across that way. And I am all, maybe it's because I'm kind of that way and I kind of get it. I kind of get the not wanting to be in that all the time. It's a very hot sun, let's put it that way. So this is the people close to the situation are kind of confirming that by saying that it is in all likelihood, if this deal goes through, he will walk away and not be part of it anymore.
Hmm.
Not because he doesn't like it, but he would rather just take his money and be left alone.
Yeah.
That is what I would do. If I was Lady Gaga and my popularity started to wane, I would get out of the business and live with my money. Sure. That's what I would do. I know some of those people need it, but I don't need it. Like Don Rickles, that guy needs to be on stage. If I was Don Rickles, I would not need it.
So our new $25,000 Patreon level for TMS is Scott just packs it in and goes off to live with his money.
No, yeah, I mean, it's not that you don't love what you're doing. In fact, in my case, if someone ever invested big, I would want to stay on and grow it.
Absolutely. That would be a requirement.
Absolutely it would, and they wouldn't do it without it. But in his case, I can see why he's burnt. I would be a little burnt. Mm-hmm. And he's shown, mm-hmm. he's expressed this. You hear his tweets are sometimes so volatile. It's like he just doesn't like the corporate world. He hates it. And he would like to not be so much in it. So I wouldn't be surprised. Anyway, we'll see how it all goes down. But it looks very real at this point that they're going to, Microsoft's literally going to buy that studio. And then who knows what they do with it. I mean, they bought Rare. Remember Rare? Rare is great. Yeah.
Right.
An old Nintendo venerable favorite. They used to make a
GoldenEye, right? Was Rare?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was indeed. They also made what was the bear and the bird on his back?
Banjo-Kazooie.
They did one of my favorite games of all time that's hardly ever talked about on the N64 called Battle Core. Do you remember Battle Core or Battle Corpse? I think is how you were actually supposed to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome game. They were great. There was nothing wrong with Rare, but then Microsoft bought them and everyone thought, ooh, big deal, big stuff coming to the Xbox. And then it just really hardly anything. They had a few games.
Yeah.
They had some stuff, but it wasn't much. Now, who knows what they're doing? Perfect Dark was another good game. Anyway.
I love Perfect Dark.
So I don't know what any of this means for that. Like, will they languish like that? Probably not. I mean, Minecraft is still a force. Will the player base freak out? They will. A minority will, but they'll continue to be a big deal. Mm-hmm. Will they leave it mostly untouched and just infuse a bunch of money to develop it out and do more?
Probably.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, that's coming. Cody Hudson, John Ullman. These are two guys you don't know. Went into a Walmart and sprayed everything with dough urine.
Oh, dough.
Dough. What kind of urine is that? Dough. Two Oklahoma men.
Smells like dope.
All right, now we got a team, a super team. Oklahoma men.
Oklahoma men.
What's their powers?
Oh, crap. See, I wouldn't even, if there was one Oklahoma man, I don't know if I'd even have able to make the wind sweep down the plain. Celsius.
That's actually pretty good power. Uh-huh. I would say they both are good in musicals, and they both have a lot of business conventions there, like for shower curtain rings and things like that.
Sure. There you go.
Cody Hudson, age 18. John Ullman, age 24, arrested and charged with malicious injury to property after allegedly spraying pee from a deer on various toys, fabrics, and shoes inside a Walmart. Witnesses, what?
Maybe they were planning on buying these things and, you know, for hunting, and they wanted to make sure they were going to try them out and say, well, we'll just keep the deers from being able to find us.
Yeah.
We'll mask our scent.
You think me spraying this here Iron Man doll in the toy section will help us hunting better? That's a good idea, Cody. I don't know why they have that voice, but.
Right. No, that's the one. That's the one.
That's the right one. There. We're going hunting later, and we need to put doe pee on top of that blanket over there.
Hey, you want to go hunting later?
No, I want to go hunting this weekend.
I
can't find it. There it is. No. No.
It's under bird.
Want to go bird hunting this weekend?
I sure do. You know we ought to do before we go hunting, though, John? We ought to put pee on everything.
Let's go put some pee on all the Walmart stuff.
Hell yeah. I'm not bringing that dog. You leave that dog at home.
This is how they do wedding registry in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Y'all want pee on it?
Smells like they're registered for this coffee mate. Yeah. Mr. Coffee over here.
Y'all can get the cake, the basic cake, for super cheap. We can get that for like $20. But if you want a good cake, we're going to have to pee on it. Let's see. Other suspects were not arrested, but they also faced charges, so there's more involved. Wow. As might be expected.
It's a whole pee ring.
pee ring. Nice. They might as well. You know what? You know what they call a rooster fighting ring, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what that is? You know what it's called?
It's called a cock ring.
Yeah, this one. Yeah.
Thank you. we were both like, it was a standoff. Who's going to say it?
Who's going to say it? Who's going to FCC this thing? All right, other suspects were not arrested. I already said that. They might, as might be expected, customers were PO'd when they had heard the news. Quote, it's weird. It's very weird and disgusting, says Callie Emberson. Brian Goodling told the station, it's just kind of shameful. I mean, these kids need to grow up. I would have said,
it's 24.
I would have said, potato chips taste funny. That's what I would have said.
Are these items going to be marked down?
Is this cheaper? Falling prices on everything. Tweaked Audio sponsoring today's program. Sponsoring, as I said. They have designed some earbuds to sound great no matter what kind of new phone you're buying. Getting that new iPhone, iPhone 6 or iPhone 6 Plus. I wonder if people who shop at Lane Bryant are mad about the Plus usage of the name. I'm just saying. Well, it's all Plus sizes, right? Is that what they call them over there? Plus size?
So next year, is it going to be the iPhone 6S and the iPhone 6 Plus S? 6S Plus?
Oh! S Plus S? Brian, you just opened a can of worms. I don't know what they do for their S.
I don't think they've thought a year in advance.
Whoa. Well, remember when the third
Plus.
The new iPad was called the new iPad, and then they straight up just forgot about that. So I don't know what they're going to do. That's a very good question. I'll bet it's 5S. I bet it's 6S, 6S Plus. I'll bet that's all they do. It's simple.
Yeah.
Or maybe this year determines. Well, they'll know very quickly how many of the big ones versus the medium ones sold. So they'll be able to determine which one they're going to go for next time. Or make a bigger deal out of next time.
Right.
Sure. Where are we here? I don't remember. Anyway, people peed on stuff.
Tweaked Audio. Tweakedaudio.com.
Go get a pair of Sweet Audio Buds and get them on the cheap. 33% off if you use our code. That is MorningStream. Use that at checkout and you'll get, I'm sorry, Stream, not MorningStream. Stream, one word, Stream. Get 33% off at tweakedaudio.com. Do it today.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
Celebrity Poop is brought to you by...
Hello, Stork and Bluto. I would just like to wish my brother Shane a happy Father's Day. Better late than never. I know you'll make a great father as our late dad was to us. Love the show, though, Jason. Aw. By the way, that Sheriff J. Parnell, Chairman J. Parnell thing.
Tim Thomas.
Somebody tweeted us, or J. Parnell. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
somebody tweeted us the video that came from.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, I captured it, so I bet I saw that video before. But
I bet you did. Yeah.
I wonder if there's a J. Parnell Thomas clip of him actually talking.
Yes, he's right after. He's talking right after that introduction.
Ah, we will find these communists and bring them, take them out of Hollywood. Or something like that.
Oh, here we go. Let's play right here. I got one for
Sabriel,
you.
Sabriel, yes.
Meeting will come to order.
Oh, it's quiet.
This committee, under its mandate from the House of Representatives,
that's him,
has mm-hmm. the responsibility of exposing and spotlighting subversive elements wherever they may exist.
Well, including you. You went to prison for it, you butthole.
Yeah, hypocrite.
Yeah, God, a super hypocrite. Should have put dopey on him, boy.
Yeah.
Joan Rivers had a surprise throat biopsy that cut off her air supply. This, according to a source, this may be the cause of death.
God. The routine. Those three words don't go well together.
No, they
surprise
don't.
Throat biopsy.
Yeah. It was a routine surgical procedure Joan Rivers was supposed to undergo. That turned deadly when a doctor who arrived at the clinic with a legendary with the legendary comics entourage performed an unplanned biopsy on her vocal cords. Medical source told somebody in told somebody called the news. That's annoying because I don't know who that is.
Right.
Such a procedure is not supposed to be performed outside a hospital, according to medical experts. You know, this is what happens. Very rich Hollywood types, Michael Jackson types, get a bunch of weird special treatment. And then when things go wrong, everybody wants to point fingers at the doctor going, he should have performed that in a hospital, or in Michael Jackson's case, that was anesthetic usually used for surgery. I can't believe he was prescribing that just for nerves. What the hell? Guys, they're super rich people bringing in doctors to do special shit.
Right.
So don't act all like, oh, we've breached the hypocritical oath. No, we just exposed the fact that rich people do weird shit with doctors. It's true.
They will search far and wide to find the doctor who will give them exactly what they want.
Yeah.
And say what they want to hear. Yeah. Right.
I just dropped like three shits in a row. I don't know why I'm so bothered by this, but I am. Let's see. The biopsy in York, which is called it was performed at Yorksville Endoscopy. Mm. That's a terrible store name. Storefront name.
I would get say. Well, okay. It's a clinic. It's not really like a.
I just hate
store.
The name. Yeah, I know. York, it's like, hey, let's go down to the Yorksville Endoscopy. They've got
endoscopy? No, endoscopy?
It's endoscopy. Endoscopy?
Endoscopy.
Endoscopy.
Yeah. Don't know which emphasis to put on which syllable.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, then normally that's gut stuff. Like, that's why it's familiar to me.
Right.
Digestive issues. But anyway, they caused Rivers' vocal cords to seize, a condition doctors only know as laryngospasm. Oh, that's another terrible name.
Mm.
Cutting off her air supply. The biopsy that should have been done in a hospital setting, says the source. If she had been in a hospital when it happened, she might have been okay, said the source. Yeah, let's just lump it all on that guy. Because I'm sure he didn't get paid some special amount of money to show up with her entourage and do specialized surgery in some local small clinic. I'm telling you, man, that's all this boils down to. I'm not trying to defend the Michael Jackson doctor. I'm not saying that what they're doing is medically ethical. I'm saying we should quit being surprised that people are being bribed to do weird shit with people who are famous.
Yeah.
All right.
Agreed.
Charlie Hunan. Ooh, Hunan Express. Beef and broccoli.
You have one of those there, too? Hunan Express?
Mm-hmm. I used to go there all the time when I was a teenager. Yeah. That was the you-can-eat-rice place.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah.
It's funny because I think we've got a Hunan Express here, and you wouldn't think that that's like a name that they would be their go-to. It's usually like, golden pheasant or
the golden
lucky
something.
Always egg roll or something like that.
The lucky egg roll. That's my favorite. I wish there was more than that in my life. Let's see here.
From San Francisco.
Not that.
Dump.
Nope. Then you can eat rice! That was
there's a blast from the past.
Yeah, blast is emphasis on blast. That's from Hunan Express is where that occurred. All right. Wendy pronounces it differently. Here you go.
My screech.
Her screech.
Charlie
Hunan, 50 Shades of Grey. This is the guy from went off on this tangent about his name. He's the guy that the
Pacific
good looking
Rim.
Hunk from your Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, and Pacific Rim, and
That's right.
Yeah,
he was the star of that.
Yep.
I didn't think he was very good in that. I thought he was kind of wooden and terrible.
Yeah,
but he's good. I think he's quite good in Sons of Anarchy is quite good in there.
Need to watch that. Yeah. I did finally watch Raising Hope, by the way, because, again, it's one of those shows that you're always talking about.
Yeah, I love that show.
And started with the pilot last night and found it very entertaining.
Yeah, you'll like it. It gets even better and better. They find their stride a few episodes in, and it is just great.
That's By the way, you want to know why? Mm. Because Tina insisted that we now watch West Wing.
Oh.
So that was going to be my, all right, Tina's going to bed. I'm going to watch a little TV. All right, West Wing.
That now, is only right and good.
Now she's all into the West Wing. So now I got to find my own thing again.
West Wing is so good. How far, how far are you guys in?
Two episodes.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I envy you in a way. I wish I could see it again for the first time.
To watch it again for the first time.
Yeah. I may watch it again just for the hell of it, for the fifth time.
Wow.
Charlie Hunan. Oh, yeah. What am I doing here? He says 50 Shades of Grey made him...
By the way.
It gave him a nervous breakdown. That's why he's not in it.
Aw.
Says it's tough being the master of the universe. Charlie Hunan provided yet another explanation as to why he bailed on playing Christian Grey in the 50 Shades of Grey movie. According to the Sons of Anarchy hunk, scheduling conflicts and anxiety were big contributors is what I meant to say, that led him to gracefully bow out of the role. I wouldn't have signed up in the first place if I didn't want to do it, he said. He's age 34, by the way. Told this the U.S. Weekly, or is it Us Weekly? I guess it's Us Weekly. At a Television Critics Association party last month. Quote, it was really, really difficult for a difficult time in my life. I had already been attached to Crimson Peak. What the hell's Crimson Peak? For about 14 months, which I said I was going to do with Guillermo del Toro. Some other thing he's doing. Or did he just...
Plus the French tickler scene kind of made me give me the willies, so I didn't want to do that either.
You know, that script said I had to put my thumb up my bum, and I'm not interested.
So what's Crimson Peak? Any idea? Is that a new Guillermo joint?
Maybe he meant to say
upcoming
Pacific
film
Rim.
Directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah. Guillermo del Toro.
Let's see here. A crumbling mansion is in a largely rural and mountainous region of northern England in the 19th century. Young author Edith Cushing discovers that her charming new husband, Sir Thomas Sharp, is not who he appears to be.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Ooh, hilarity ensues.
Also stars Tom Hiddleston.
Oh, good. I like him.
Yeah.
He's great. He's Loki.
Mm-hmm.
He's up all night to get Loki.
Yes.
The only other thing I would say, well, whatever. 50 Shades of Grey, I feel like, is just a thing you don't want to be in. I just feel like it's not really that great for your career. I don't know why. Something about it. Can't tell.
What? You don't want to be in a movie that's based on Twilight fan fiction?
No, I don't. I don't want to be Christian Grey. I don't want to be the other lady. I don't want to be anybody involved with it. Because, again, let's do that audition again. So, you say if I'm going to be in your movie, I got to put a 3-inch needle through my left nipple? Not interested.
I'm out. Can you tell me what kind of things I'm going to have to do to my body?
Yeah, that's right.
Nope. See ya.
Hold on now. Someone's going to poop on my chest. Out. I'm out. I got better things to do. All right. That's the end of that. I don't know what's in that book, so I'm making things up.
Right, of course. Yes.
Not Tweaked Audio. We already talked about them because Hello Fresh is up. Hello Fresh, everybody. The worst lead-in. HelloFresh.com has amazing stuff coming up, including an expansion.
It's 50 Shades of Delicious is what it is.
Corinne got a delivery. That means
Utah.
In fact, you know what? Let's do a quick HelloFresh.
Yeah.
com update. Are we in your area? Hold on, how it works. Okay, all right.
In the Utah is the question.
I can't find a thing to tell me that. It's in here somewhere. I've done it before, and now I don't remember where I got it. Anyway. We should look at this week's boxes. You want to see this box this week?
Oh my gosh, I'm looking at it right now. Irby salmon skewers with Israeli couscous salad.
No, that sounds great. Toasted fried rice, pork tacos, stroganoff meatballs, spiced chicken, real recipes, farm fresh ingredients sent to your door directly. 30 minutes or less and you got the meal, everybody. Visit HelloFresh.com and see if they deliver to you. I've got a phone call with them sometime. I've been so swamped, I haven't had a chance. I got Comic Dorks today and TFS. I don't know when I'm going to fit it in.
Wow.
But I'll find out soon.
Find out where they're, because they used to have a thing saying, are we in your area? Now they don't, which may mean that they're
in all areas.
They're countrywide now.
They could be everywhere. in all places at once and across the world. Who knows? Hey, gotta use the code MorningStream. That's MorningStream is the code for 50% off at HelloFresh.com. Brian, let's take a break. When we come back, Nicole Spag will be here. And the return of Justin Robert Young after a day of flying, he's back.
What?
Well, Tom's in Venice, Italy, so he's not here. So we won't be doing him. But we will be doing Nicole, then we'll do Jury, and then a couple of emails. Before all of that, you have music prepared.
I do. All right, so Dan wrote in, said, Scrote and Balls, yesterday, last week, I should say, on September 3rd, we welcomed our second child into the world a week earlier than expected, a happy and healthy baby boy. Mm. I figured what better way to celebrate than by requesting a song to listen to while in the hospital. Rock has always been my go-to. Anything along the lines of Hatebreed, Tool, Machine Head, or that style, I would appreciate it. Chase the Goose, yo, Dan Stamey. And congratulations. And yeah, there's nothing that relaxes me more in the hospital than listening to Machine Head. So that's exactly what we're going to do.
Nice.
For their 1999 album, The Burning Red, they recorded this great cover of The Police's Message in a Bottle.
Bless you.
We're going to play it for you now. It's Message in a Bottle by Machine Head from their album, The Burning Red. Rock on.
Well, what you said implied the song was ready. And it's not because...
Was that not enough stalling?
No, no, no. You did your fiduciary duty. Okay, now it's working. Hey, everybody. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
Just a cast away, an island lost at sea. Another lonely day, there's no one here but me. More loneliness than any man could bear. Rescue me before I fall into despair. Yeah.
What's the best way to reduce? Eat what you want or starve yourself? Starve yourself? Wrong. A half-empty stomach causes hunger tantrums. Now you can avoid hunger tantrums, lose weight naturally and fast. With the RDX Full Stomach Reducing Plan, you fill your stomach, yet fat just seems to melt away. And safe, pleasant-tasting RDX tablets contain no dangerous drugs, no hormones. So if you want to eat and lose fat, get RDX at your drugstore today.
We are trying to help you.
I don't want your kind of help.
Then I will have to take the gun.
You're writing checks with the year 2011
that your body can't cash in 2012. This is the Morning Stream.
Okay, a couple things. Number one, if you think that fad diets are a thing of our day only, I would point your squinties to that very old commercial.
Yes, by the way, again.
Big thanks to Dodd Vickers for sending me a couple of those. Those are awesome.
Oh, nice. Good.
And secondly,
you need to talk to him about the
what's that?
The Obey Henry domain.
I know. I've been swamped.
I know you have.
I have had zero free time the last few days. Like yesterday, that Destiny thing was maybe an hour. Like, yeah. That's the most free time I've had. I guess I could have called him then, but I also need to talk about that game tonight. That was almost kind of work. So
right. Yeah, you were doing it for the job.
Yeah, doing it for the job. But I'll do it. I will call him. We'll get that worked out. But then the second thing was, what was the second thing? Oh, that Fletcher thing was a reminder of how old the show is. He gave us that clip in 2011 talking about how there were checks we couldn't cash in 2012. Think about that.
That. Yes.
That's wow. Crazy.
Have we gotten some new Fletcher audio recently? Like, is there?
Nah, not really. I mean, there's always stuff.
I've got them up.
I have a huge list that I can pull from at any time. I have things like this.
The Morning Stream. You got your Trek nerd in my chin.
You know that one.
Mm-hmm.
How about this one? That's just there.
This is.
I have tons. How many do I have? I have officially 308 that are him just doing Morning Stream ones. I can use those anytime I feel like it. But then I got all his weird Fletcher crap from, like, you know, this.
What I saw was not a cat.
Right? That's some old film sack thing.
Stop eating my sesame cake.
Remember that one? That was a good one. How about this one?
I'm coming in hot with a side of bacon.
Gay!
Oh. I don't know why that's in there. All right. I should save that. Hold on. I'm pulling gay out. I'm pulling gay out, everybody. We're going to use gay for something else. Okay. All right. Hey, Nicole. Let's call Nicole. I said that as if she was on the line. She's not yet. I should do that now. Let me add her in here. Don't want to get distracted. Here we go.
No.
Eye on the prize. Focus. Eyes forward. Both hands on the wheel.
Head down. Eyes closed. Can't lose.
Yeah. Hands at three. Is it 2 and 10? How does it work? 2 and 10, right?
10 and 2, yeah.
Okay. Is that still a thing? I heard they changed that. It's no longer 10 and 2, right?
Yeah, they said it doesn't have to be that regimented, your hand placement.
I thought it was that, we figured out it was actually kind of a bad idea or something like that. Maybe not.
It was actually supposed to be 10:30 and quarter to 4.
Quarter to 4, exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, join us now as we welcome to the program Wednesday's own Nicole Spagnuolo. Hello, Nicole.
Hi, we're starting a little late, huh?
Yeah, we're running late is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And we know when Jerry gets here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Or was this an inconvenient time for you?
I'm sitting here waiting.
Jeez. Won't people think of Nicole here, please?
Maybe we shouldn't have talked about Destiny so much.
Oh, that's true. Hey, tonight will be a lot of Destiny talk, mm-hmm. I'm telling you. We got stuff to say, things to do.
Are you debating, like, the single player?
The single player in that game sucks.
No, it doesn't. What are you talking about?
It's not even the point of it is it hardly exists. It's like not even a thing in that game. Like it's better with more people.
It's grindy. You know what? I haven't had to do any missions more than once.
Well, I don't mean by grindy. I don't mean that by grindy. What I just mean is I am not having as much fun without.
Did you play
more people.
Beta?
Yeah, I did. But I quit at a point. And here's what I found out. This is the short of it. And we'll dig way deeper tonight. But here's what happened to me. I played it to a certain point, went, ooh, I really like this. I don't want to spoil the rest of it. I'm getting out now. Mm-hmm. So I quit playing the beta because I wanted to save it for the retail. I got past that point in the retail. And then as I got past it and kept going, I realized, oh, they're kind of making me go to the same places over and over a whole lot. And there is very little variety in here. And these missions are kind of the same. And what Tyrion Lannister is not telling me too much about much, because all he's doing is going.
How many? You only played it for an hour.
No, I played more than that. I've got probably.
I just heard you say.
No. Yesterday I played for an hour. I played for a whole bunch more the day before. And I've got two characters up to level 6 or something.
It just came out yesterday.
Yeah. I played it.
How did you play it the day before?
No. No, sorry. Back up. Yesterday, I remember, Brian, I told you in the morning I got up at like 6 and played.
Exactly. You play in the morning. Yeah, so I remember this. So I probably got attention to what you say.
So
Scott,
if you count the beta and all this together, I probably got maybe three and a half hours of time in it.
Okay.
So I'm not saying that that's bad. What I'm saying is in that amount of time, they are being so repetitive that the only time that repetition is fun for me, and I don't mean the same missions over and over. I mean the same zone, the same areas, and the same mission structure. Go back to the planet, wait for a long load screen, have the guy tell you to go back down to the same planet and go down there with your little bot and have him scan a console and then come back to you and go, yeah, I think it's a thing. Oh, 4 waves of dudes, shoot them. Bam, 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 bam. All right.
I'm just saying I'm having a blast doing solo play and multiplayer. It's a great game.
The multiplayer is way better than the solo play, which is good because I want to play with you guys.
I don't want to play with you.
Oh, you are just.
I just don't want to listen to you while I play with you.
We made her wait. And now I've made her mad. Listen,
Nicole. A little surly
today. I like it. You know what it is? A week or two after a convention, especially one that you had a bunch to do with.
Yeah.
At least this is true for me. I get super cranky. I don't know if that's, is that true of you?
Do you get cranky? I'm just playing with you.
No, I know. But do you get, this is a whole separate question though. Do you get cranky after you do a thing like that?
First week I'm back. I'm because I'm just wiped out completely.
Part of it is that you're exhausted, but also the adrenaline of it gets just evacuated, right? So you're just left with, oh yeah, I got a
horrible day's life.
Those dishes aren't going to do themselves kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Nicole comes on. Anyway. We talk about streaming stuff and it's always fun.
Yeah,
that is not repetitive. That is a good solo and multiplayer experience to hang out with Nicole and talk about movies. So what's streaming? What's going on? What's our theme?
So I am going to start this week's recommendals off with a movie that honestly I hope I see more of. Not necessarily the type of movie, but how it was distributed. We have been asking for a very long time for kind of like day and date release with movies in the theater and movies on video on demand, watch it on your TV.
Yeah.
I've said a number of times, I pay, you know, upwards to $30 for a movie if I didn't have to go to the theater.
Sure, I would pay what it cost me to take the kids and my wife to a theater for some movies. Some movies I want to do there, but I would love to have the option. That'd be great.
Yeah. So the movie that is currently in the theater and also in on video on demand, you can pick it up on Amazon Instant Video as well as like Vudu and those types of services, iTunes. A movie called Snowpiercer.
Mm. Oh yeah, love this movie.
Still haven't watched it.
So this is $6.99 to rent. You know, it's a little bit higher than what you normally, because usually rentals are now like $2.99, something like that. Mm. So it's not $30, so I was like, I'm getting a deal.
Yeah, getting a sweet deal.
This is a post-apocalyptic movie. It's a little confusing because when it first starts out, you're not really sure what's going on. Mm. It stars Chris Evans.
Mm. Captain America there.
Yeah. Yes, Captain America. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the movie he was filming when they did the shawarma scene.
Oh.
Because he's like holding his hand in front of his face.
Oh, right, to cover his beard, yeah.
Yeah, so that's bearded in this movie.
Oh, that's funny, dude. That's so, cool. By the way, this is the director of The Host, for those who don't know, a Korean director.
Oh.
Yeah. Have you ever saw The Host? That's a weird ass.
No, I haven't seen that
it's
one.
Good, though. Yeah.
Is it like worm-based?
Host? No, it's a big...
Or is it a dinner party?
Isn't that the one that was written by... written by the same gal. Oh my God, who did Twilight? Or am I thinking of something different?
No, that's
isn't that
maybe,
a,
maybe
a
I'm
YA.
Thinking of the wrong movie. Hold on, The Host. No, I'm thinking of the right movie. No, I'm not. You're right. You're right about the name of the movie. It's not The Host. Ah, crap. Chat room, bail me out here. It's
I don't know.
I'll just look up Snowpiercer and look at the
director. Stephanie Meyer. That's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, not her. Not that not movie. That. Sorry. Not it's Junho Bong is his name. Don't laugh. It's a real name. Not that you would. It is called The Host. I'm sorry. It's just a different movie called The Host. And it's a big sea monster deal.
Big Korean fish monster movie.
Yeah, big Korean fish monster movie. highly regarded, by the way, that guy. Anyway, keep going.
So back on Snowpiercer. Brian, you've seen it.
I have seen it. Yes, on the theaters. Because, Entertainment Weekly could not shut up about this
movie.
I know,
right?
Yeah.
Well, and that's how I found out about it, too. And I was like, oh, cool. It's video on demand. I'll just watch it on Amazon.
You know what the problem is, though? It didn't get hardly any play in the theaters. So some have seen this not as this is a very progressive idea. Let's have it at home and in the theaters. The truth is you can't really find it anywhere in the theaters. And they did this as a way to say, we're not sure how this is going to do. Korean director, kind of a hardcore post-apocalyptic story. We don't know if mainstream audiences are going to be cool with this. So let's rent it.
And it's based off of a book.
Right.
That I now
graphic novel, I think.
Yeah. I want to read.
Well, you
really
should.
Fast.
I would love to know how that book is.
Because what this is the scientists of the world were trying to find a solution for global warming.
Yeah.
And as a result, they froze the world.
Like you do.
And
what's that? Like you do.
Like you do. Freezing the world.
Yeah.
And this train is the last remaining survivors. And this train circles, it takes a year to circle the world. And they've been on this train for 17 years. And someone told me on Twitter, he said, it's like Bioshock without the Vigors. And it's totally, because it's like this whole class system. You got the people in the back of the train, which they're the freeloaders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you got the people in the middle, which is like the economy. And then you got first class. And everybody is in their spot. And it's very, of course, Chris Evans is in the back of the train and they're trying to take control of the engine. It's a fascinating story. There are a few bits of it that it's the kind of movie that just kind of sits with you. Like I thought about it for a number of days after, like what happened there? There was a twist at the end and the story was explained and I just wanted to know more. And this is the kind of movie at the very end. The way the director explained it, it's meant to invoke what type of person you are.
Yeah.
Are you optimistic or are you pessimistic? So depending on kind of your view, you'll leave this movie one way or the other.
Sure.
In the book, I see what I wanted in this movie. I want more of the train. So in the book, there are 1,001 train cars to this train.
Because it's the only place you can survive in the planet anymore, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, because it's moving and it's just constantly going and that's how they're surviving. And it was a fascinating movie. I highly recommend it if you like these types of post-apocalyptic movies.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I have been trying for weeks to remember to just see it and I keep forgetting and so I need to just freaking do it.
And Tilda Swinton.
Oh, she is fantastic.
She's wonderful. And she's my theme.
Swinton,
she's
right?
My theme
Swinton? Today. Tilda Swinton? How do you say it?
Swinton.
All right, there you go. I like Swinston, but Swinton. I think Swinton is accurate.
Tilda Swinton.
Did she say Tilda Swinton?
Yeah, she did. But it's okay. It's the colon. It's awesome. It's my favorite Swinston. Thing about her. Yeah. She's Don Cheadle. She is Don Cheadle in it. That's what we want to know. No? Okay.
I purposely went to a YouTube video of somebody pronouncing her name to try to pronounce it correctly.
Did you really? I love that.
Oh, really? Boy, of all the names, that one seems like the most phonetically accurate. You look at that and say, that must be Tilda Swinton.
But Nicole, this implies somehow that this is a detriment that you get these names wrong. I see it as a fantastic feature of your personality, and I want it to continue forever. So don't go changing.
Don't go looking at YouTube videos to see how to pronounce stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Stop that.
Yeah, quit it. Just get it wrong and make us smile because we love it. Anyway, continue.
Okay, so I really think she's an amazing actress. She's a character. Unfortunately, the movie that I remember her most from is not streaming, but Constantine. She was an angel in that movie, and I think that was the first time I had really seen her in a film.
Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, the Hellblazer.
Yeah, you actually, Nicole, you can tell me if I made a huge mistake here because I was at Walmart the other day,
Okay.
Where
everything's covered in dopey.
Big mistake.
Yeah, I peed on everything. No, they had a... there's more to the story, Brian. So had this DVD Blu-ray bin like they always do, right? Mm-hmm. And they have these combo movies. That's like three on a Blu-ray, three different movies on the disc. And it was Constantine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got to remember the other two. Crap. Watchmen Director's Edition, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one was something else. Oh, shoot. I took a picture and put it on Instagram. Anyway, $10 for these three movies. That seemed like a pretty good deal, but I didn't do it. Did I make a mistake? Should I have gotten one of those? Because I always feel a little bit cheap when I buy those things.
I don't buy those types of movies anymore because I don't... If I'm going to watch something, I'm going to go for convenience.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take the time to put in a disc. It sounds so lazy, right? We're so lazy
I
now.
I know, but it's awesome, isn't it? I mean, it's, yes, lazy, but also it's not so much lazy. It's just, well, it's like having a TV without a remote again.
Yeah.
Like, what would that life be like? That'd be stupid. Like, we've come far.
Get the pliers out.
The discs, you usually don't get all the bonus stuff. And that's...
Brian loves his
discs. That's what makes me buy... Well, that's what makes me buy a disc of, you know, Captain America Winter Soldier.
Right.
Is because I want the one shot. I want the behind the scenes stuff, the deleted scenes, the making of, all that stuff.
But they're not going to put that stuff on a 3-pack.
No. This one probably had.
It is going to be just the movie. Yeah.
This one had. So here are the three movies. It was V for Vendetta, Watchmen Director's Cut, and Constantine. That feels like a pretty good deal.
That's
for
a great lineup. Yeah.
I mean, two of the three of them are really good.
Yeah. Anyway, I like Constantine. It's okay. It's not great. Right. It's not great, but it's. Got its moments. It's all
right. Sack.
Are you excited about the TV show that's coming out at the end of this month?
I am actually.
No, end of October. October 24th is when it.
Yeah. I am excited. I feel like TV has never been better at adapting film adaptations, which is an adaptation of a comic. But but regardless, when you take something that was a movie and is now a TV show, they've done lately really well with that. Bates Motel is rad. Fargo is amazing. Why not? You know, if it's in the right hands, I think I feel pretty good about it. That's why I think that Minority Report show is going to be great, and Brian Dunaway can suck
right?
it.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I'm stoked.
Yeah, excited about that too.
Yeah, little wooden balls telling you who's going to kill somebody. It's awesome. Can't wait. Anyway, sorry.
Anyway, so yeah,
I diverted you. Continue on.
That's okay. That's totally fine. Mm. So I went on a hunt for Tilda Swinton. Yeah, whatever.
Swinton. Yeah.
Swinton movie. And I can't remember if I've recommended this one. I really enjoyed this film. And it's the 2001 film Vanilla Sky. Mm. She plays, she actually works at the cryogenic place that Tom Cruise visits in the movie. So I'm assuming both of you have seen this film.
What was it again?
Vanilla Sky with Tom Cruise.
I have not seen Vanilla. Vanilla Sky.
The one where Cameron Diaz kills Tom Cruise.
Oh, is that the one? I've never seen Vanilla Sky. Not once.
I'm kidding.
Technically.
He was making... I know that movie was being made the same time as Minority Report, so there's some crossover cameo stuff going on.
Yeah.
She's in the train, and so is Cameron Crowe, the director, and stuff in Minority Report, so I know that there was a lot of crossover then, but I never saw Vanilla Sky. I have no idea what the hell that movie is.
She messes up his face really bad.
Mm, good.
You have to see this film.
Okay.
It's streaming... on Amazon Prime and Netflix. So you have no excuse. It's on both of the places.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sci-fi because it's dealing with cryogenics. And Tom Cruise's character, he's rich, he's, you know, good looking, he has the world in the palm of his hand, and
he's basically a Tom Cruise character.
Yeah, pretty much. And he crosses the wrong woman, which is Cameron Diaz. And he falls in love with a new woman, Penelope Cruz. And so you also have Jason Lee in this as his best friend. And then, like I said, Kurt Russell's in it. And Tilda Swinton is, she works at the company that he goes to for this cryogenic thing that's going on. And I really enjoyed this film. It was kind of heartbreaking, sci-fi, romance. I don't know.
The,
I think
is she the ice lady in the Narnia movies? The
she
ice
is.
Queen?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. None of those are streaming. That's, she's very notable for those too.
She's also in a movie with Obi-Wan Kenobi from the prequels. What's his name? Ewan McGregor. And I don't remember the name of the movie. I just remember they both were freaking nude and his wiener was out. I remember the scene that just really bothered me. And it's not because they were naked. It's because they were naked in a, such a way that was very bad lighting on purpose. Like this very ugly naked. And they both they both look like corpses.
Some people probably debate you on that.
I don't know if they would.
There's somebody out there who maybe says, I don't know, I kind of find Ewan McGregor attractive. And
I do too. I think he's a good looking dude, but that movie was meant to make me go
That was called Young Adam.
Yeah, that was gross. Don't watch that scene. Anyway. It weirded me out.
Yeah, I like Vanilla Sky actually. It's a good thinker. Like Noah Taylor's great in it. When he appears,
is it fairly compared to Sunshine of the Spotless Mind or whatever the hell that movie's called? Is it similar to that? Okay,
I don't think so.
I mean,
I guess they're along the same like vein, but they're completely different.
They're completely different movies, but there's a sci-fi interlaced with, with kind of a romance angle a little bit. I mean, I hate to say like a romantic.
It's a romantic sci-fi film.
Right.
I mean, it is a romantic sci-fi film, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Vanilla Sky, I was crying at the end.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sounds tasty, though.
It's a touching film. It's a very touch. I mean, any kind of movie that has a very, like, a longing, like, a need. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why AI. I know you hate AI, but.
No, I love AI.
Oh, I thought you hated AI.
No, Brian Dunaway hates AI. I think AI is great.
I like AI in the first ending.
I liked it all. I liked all the weird. I liked that Kubrick and Spielberg's visions are so clashy. There's something about it I've always liked, and Dunaway hates it.
I love that movie. And just when a movie is just kind of like you follow this character and you invest in a character and you want that character to meet their goal. And like that journey to me just. It breaks me up. And that's what this is a journey for Tom Cruise's character.
I'm into that.
So you should totally watch it.
I will finally. I have a couple of things of Cameron Crowe's I always meant to see and never did. I've seen Say Anything about a billion times. I've seen Singles, but I've never seen, and I've seen Jerry Maguire probably too many times, but I've never seen Almost Famous or Vanilla Sky, either one of those movies.
There you go.
And I feel like an idiot for not seeing
it. Yeah, you should definitely see Almost Famous as well. That's another great one.
And by the way, he has not made a movie since 2005. Elizabethtown was the last movie he made. And it's weird because the other stuff's all like Pearl Jam documentaries, a couple things here and there in 2011. And then 2015, he's got some new movie. So watch for that. Yeah. Anyway, that was number two, right?
Cool. Number two. And then finally, this one took me a while to warm up. At first, I didn't really like it, but after I watched it a second time, I don't know, maybe it's also I'm in a very reflective place in my life right now, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Is the 2005 film Broken Flowers.
I do not know what this one is.
This is Bill Murray, and he plays a aging Don Juan. And in fact, his name is Don
Jarmusch.
Yeah, Jim Jarmusch, isn't it?
Yes, Jim Jarmusch.
That guy's a weirdo.
This is a... I will prepare you going into this film.
Yeah.
It's very deadpan. It's very... it's a little slow.
So it's a very Jim Jarmusch is what you're telling me. Because his movies are all like that.
It's very reflective.
Yeah.
So Bill Murray's character, you know, he's had a life of women. And... he's finally settling down and he receives a mysterious note saying that he has a son who's 19 years old.
Uh-oh.
So this is kind of his journey through the women, the past women in his life. And of course, Tilda Swinton is one of those women.
Yeah.
But you also have Sharon Stone. You have Jessica Lange, Frances Conroy. So he goes to all, you know, to try to find... I guess the mother of his child. And so this is his journey of self-reflection. And Chloe Sevigny is in it as well. So you have a really, you know, a star cast. And like I said, I was expecting funny. And I think that's why when the first time I watched it, it wasn't like Bill Murray funny. And it's more along the lines of what was that film he did with Lost in Translation? That kind of
In fact, it was kind of from that Bill Murray time. Those are the kind of movies he was making there for a little while.
So you can watch this one on Netflix. Sorry, you can play it on Netflix. It's streaming on Netflix. So if you're interested on a kind of a quirky Bill Murray movie, Broken Flowers.
If you guys, and just a little side note about Bill Murray. If you want to know what my dad looked like during most of his older life, Bill Murray. That's exactly
really?
What it, yeah.
Really?
And put a goatee on him, dead ringer. It's the weirdest thing. Yeah. And he had a little more hair than my dad did on top. My dad was kind of bald, but he is a dead ringer for my dad. Always kind of has been, but he's got the same face.
Interesting.
And yeah. I'll get a comparative Photoshop or something. You guys will be like, oh, wow, weird. He definitely looks like a Murray. Anyway,
I love Bill Murray. He's great.
He's the best. He's a national treasure. He should never go anywhere. And so is Nicole. Nicole, it's always good to have you on here.
Yes.
Oh, thanks.
Tilda Swinston aside.
I love the chat room. Nicole can get Chloe Sevigny correct, but not Tilda Swinston.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah.
I expected.
I get hung up on certain words sometimes.
McDormand's are hard.
And we love that.
Anything with a Mick in front of it is rough.
Cheetles are hard.
Cheetles are hard.
Did you get a chance to watch any of the Amazon pilots, by the way?
No, I didn't. Did you watch Transparent?
I have it on my list to watch. Yeah, it's on my little OneNote thing.
Hey, what's the little deal with, what's the one with, what's his name? Hellboy in it. What's his
name? Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman's got some new pilot on there.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Called
That's
God's
one of the
Country or God's Men or some God name. I forget. Anyway, that looked interesting. I want to watch that.
On Perlman.
Yeah. And it's called Transparent, right?
Yeah.
There it is right there. Yes, I do have
and
that.
And the TV show you're thinking of, Scott, is called Hand of God.
Hand of God, that's it.
That's one of the new.
It's a new one, too.
I have no idea what it is, but it's not. It's funny because it's not in his IMDb profile at all.
It's getting great reviews.
Yeah, good. Again, Amazon totally climbing up the ranks of I like going there for video. So I'm happy to see them and maybe improving that stuff. And I really do feel like the second wave of shows could be like their second wave of Kindles. Like they're getting it right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
So good luck to them. Nicole, always a pleasure.
Oh, we're done.
Oh, we got what else? Oh, Quizzler.
You always forget about your Quizzler.
I do. I always forget about the Quizzlers because they're not strawberry flavored. I don't think about it. All right, go ahead. What do we got?
All right, here you go.
Okay.
Scoutmaster Ward, I presume?
Yes, ma'am.
Your reputation precedes you. You two are the most appallingly incompetent custodial guardian social services has ever had the misfortune to encounter in a 27-year career.
Moonrise Kingdom.
Good job.
Wow, well done.
Now, what's funny about that is I still haven't seen it. But I recognized David Banner there, Bruce Banner. What's his name?
Ruffalo?
No, the one before
him.
Edward Norton.
I recognized his voice. I knew he was a scoutmaster in that movie, and then the rest was easy after that.
Wow. I couldn't tell who the other voice was. Who was the woman's voice?
That
wasn't Frances McDormand, was it?
That was Tilda.
Oh, that was Tilda Swinton.
Swinston. Swanston. It was Ron Swanson. Come on now. Well, excellent. Those are fun. And I don't know why I forget them because I enjoy the heck out of them. So I will not forget them next week. By the way, next week will be the Wednesday before the wedding, and I'm terrified. So,
oh my goodness.
Yay. Should I say yay with a question mark?
Just think. 2 weeks will be the Wednesday after the wedding.
Oh my gosh. Hey, Brian, a month later, it'll be a month after. Think about that.
Yeah, see? Exactly.
Put that in your brain pie. Nicole is Nicole Spag on Twitter. She's always got a billion things going on. Follow her. She'll be on Final Score tonight. Watch for things like Nerd Parents at nerdparents.com, Ladies of Leet, and many other cool projects. Nicole, it's always a pleasure.
Thanks, guys.
Talk to you later.
See you, Nicole.
Bye.
Have a good day. I can't find her hand.
I'm going to hang.
Okay. Yeah, I lost your video for a while, but it's back, it looks like.
Oh, yeah.
You're back now. That was weird.
I had to eat a cracker.
Oh, you muted video for cracker eating?
I muted audio and video for eating a cracker.
Oh, man. I slurped down a whole plate of spaghetti one time on camera.
I know.
There's an animated GIF out there. Yep. If anyone needs proof.
You got to play that that gif with
I was really horking it too. Thanks, Dunaway, for dragging that up.
Oh, so funny.
All right, we are going to call Justin R. Young. And I realize it's already 9:42, so this could be interesting.
Wow. Yeah, it's going to have to be an abbreviated jury.
It's going to have to be possibly
speed round, a jury speed round.
The shortest jury of all time. I don't know if that's even possible, but it might be. We'll get him on here, get this all going. Hold on. Oh, Corinne confirms via text just now they are indeed getting food from HelloFresh, which is
these
nice.
Are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Justin Robert Young, we're bringing him in last second, man. I feel bad that it's so late in the morning, man. I hope we didn't screw you up. What's going on?
Jesus, Scott, you know, you tell me I'm going to come on the show at 11:15 and your body makes a promise. Your body makes a promise.
Didn't hold up our end of the deal. I see.
And when you see Vanilla Sky, you will understand why.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
Whoop. That's not good. Did we lose him? Uh-oh.
He just got Google Hangouted.
He sounds like he is in a weird place. Let's try calling him again. Probably traveling, probably in a car. Some sort of automotive transport is my guess.
Through a tunnel.
Yeah, could be. Try it again here. One more try here. Did I click that right? Yeah. Let's get him back. Want him back, man. I need
come
my,
back.
I need
come
my
back.
Jury. He talked on his podcast the other day about that dude on the train that was such a jerk. Remember he was going to tell us that story? And then he said you have to tune in Jury Live to see it.
Right.
And
I forgot to listen.
Yeah. I didn't have time, but he sent me a link to the guy's IMDb profile, and it's someone I have no idea who it is, but he was in Bulletproof Monk. You and I had seen him recently.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, African-American dude whose name eludes me now. But if we can get him back on, he'll confirm this. And it's just ringing forever.
Oh, no.
Maybe we don't have jury today.
I hope he's okay.
I don't know. Happy birthday, Voltron. Hey, is it Voltron's birthday today?
I guess so. Happy birthday, Voltron.
I still love Voltron. But, the tiger dudes all joining together to make giant Tiger Man. It was so good. Do you have a favorite cartoon from the 80s? We've never really talked about this.
No, we didn't.
He's still ringing.
God, I mean, you know, I was big on Scooby-Doo back then. Never got into Transformers or Masters of the Universe. Super Friends. There you go. Super Friends would have been my favorite.
Super Friends is pretty good. Did you like, and where were you on Scooby-Doo? How'd you feel about that?
I like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it before Scrappy and what was the Dopey-Doo or what was this?
Scooby-Dumb.
Scooby-Dumb. Yes.
He's still not picking up. Hold on. Busy, it says. Let's try him again. Yeah, Scooby-Dumb was real bad. Scrappy-Doo really was the end of it. That was jumping the shark. Trying to think what else would have had some significance. Oh, now it says he's busy. Come on, Justin. What are you doing here, buddy? Well, we'll keep trying him as long as we can stretch this out, I suppose. let's see. For me, it was what was the Japanese chat room? You can help us with this. What was the Japanese cartoon Saturday morning cartoon? Well, you'd think, right? They often have them.
Thundercats.
This was one with the big.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Oh, you're back.
Jesus.
What's this, where are you?
Go through a tunnel?
No. Still, I'm in Phone Callville. Where phone calls end my Skype call.
Oh, you took a call. Sorry.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Oh, that was probably annoying because I kept calling back. It probably kept popping up.
No, I would have liked that. I instead kept calling you, and it kept saying, you can't talk to him. He's doing something else.
Well, fantastic. Sounds like perfect timing then.
It's great. This is a great way to start the day.
Yeah, and it's good radio and all that stuff. Where are you hailing today? Where are you at?
I'm back in the motherland of Florida, in on the West Coast here in Tampa for a big game in about an hour or so.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
I got a work. I got a work question for you about that.
Shoot.
Does your beard, now luxurious and large, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Does it? Do you feel at all like it interferes at all in your ability to, say, take a stranger volunteer who you've perhaps contacted ahead of time to help with the game? Because sometimes you do that in the town, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Do they, are they intimidated by it? Do you feel like when they see it, they're frightened by it? Do you feel like it all deters the goals of which you have clearly in your head set before you go there?
To hire the actors?
Or, yeah, like, because you're the first guy they're going to see, right? You show up.
Yeah.
Here's an actor. Here's a dude. Whatever. Are any of them? Do you see them trying not to look at your beard by accidentally looking at it all the time?
I mean, not that I noticed. To be fair, though, unless it is a friend of mine or like I put the word out on the show or on Twitter or something like that for people to come out and help with the game, I have a fairly low thought about actors. I don't really like them all that much. They're usually weirdos.
Yeah.
And so it's really just take your $60 and do what I say, please. And don't ruin the game.
So in some ways that may help you then, because that beard is intimidating.
I mean, if it does that, then I'm glad I have it.
All right. All right.
I think more so the kind of, you would worry about me dealing with clients. And that's where I would think I would I might at some point get a talking to from the higher ups.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, we wear orange jumpsuits. So it's like, what's more ridiculous? Feel like it's at least like I'm going the whole nine.
Yeah, and if
I have a crazy Rick Rubin beard,
sure,
and an orange jumpsuit.
And if they're really, I mean, if they're really into Oh Brother Where Art Thou, you look like a dude from that movie. In a jumpsuit, an orange jumpsuit. You've just escaped from prison.
Except those were fake. The cheaters.
Yeah, that's right. Those cheating cheaters.
When they were the Soggy Bottom Boys.
Right. Playing maybe Man more like Harrison Ford in The Fugitive. How about that one?
Yeah, that works.
Yeah.
That totally works. Well, so
I didn't kill my wife.
So we. I don't care. So if you are in. If you are in Florida, that means that likely you have something to share with us. I don't know why I said that that way, but what's going on, man? Do you have anything to pop off?
All right, so I had this thought because he's in, you guys were talking about AI, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Haley Joel Osment is in the new Kevin Smith movie, and now you've kind of seen him sort of resurface in things.
Yeah.
And I think we all basically have fond memories of Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah.
He seems to have continued to become an even more capable actor than he was as a child.
Sure.
But it made me think, because AI going into it, like, had the buzz because it was the Kubrick passion project, because of Steven Spielberg. Like, it had this, like, oh, this is going to be like E.T. level big.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be gigantic. It wound up not being that because it's roughly 9 hours long and really boring.
And really weird. It's weird.
It's also weird. And it has like, when one of your central characters is a hooker bot, like that tends to be a problem for families.
Yeah.
Don't want to take their kids to see the hooker bot.
Yeah.
Yeah. To see Jude Law and his, you know, surely very capable robotic penis, which is... discussed but not seen. But like, it made me wonder, like, is, if that movie's a hit, is Haley Joel Osment one of the biggest stars that we know? Because if he's continued to become a capable actor, now he wound up becoming kind of fat, but who knows whether that is something that happens if he remains in the public eye.
Sure.
But like, is, does he just become gigantic?
No.
No.
Here's why I say that. I'm percentage wise, I say no. I don't mean for sure no, because who knows? But look at Macaulay Culkin and his career. So that guy had one of the biggest movies and sequels in the history of family films. And that did nothing for him once puberty hit. And it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard for those guys. Mm-hmm. I feel for them because the reason you are a draw in the movies goes away. Your youthful, whatever cute factor you had is gone. And it's the reason that Ron Howard can go on to be an amazing director, because he would have been weird. Well, I guess he was in Happy Days and did fine there. But
Yeah.
It could have been weird for him. It would have been even weirder for his brother had he thought he deserved a career that was anything more than Clint Howard as a freak. So he embraced it and went full freak. That worked for him. But for most of those guys, you know, the Culkin boys in particular, although the other Culkin kid's doing okay, I don't know. I don't know what the magic sauce is.
But they're character actors. I mean, I guess here's my question. Here's the difference between Macaulay Culkin and Haley Joel Osment. Sixth Sense was very well reviewed critically.
Yeah.
And he was a very big part of that. So the Culkin had Home Alone. He was certainly, and then kind of fit into a little bit of the teen heartthrob sort of thing. He was very much on the very, very much a Tiger Beat cover boy kind of thing.
Yeah.
In a way that Haley Joel Osment, you know, maybe at some point would have, but it doubt it, right?
For a couple of minutes, I think, yeah, he may have.
He was always kind of too young. But at the same time, is he, would he maybe have Daniel Radcliffe's career or something similar to that?
Yeah.
Because Daniel Radcliffe, I feel like in the next 10 years, we're going to see a Daniel Radcliffe Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like someone's going to put him in a movie that works exactly to his strengths. And it's going to be like Harry Potter no more. Radcliffe scores Oscar.
You think so? I'm a little concerned about that.
You kind of saw that when he was on Broadway doing Equus, right? That was like the first big thing he did after or during Harry Potter. But aside from Harry Potter.
Yeah, but nobody, but everybody.
That's in his Check Out My Penis World Tour.
That's right.
He did a play called Check Out My Penis. In parentheticals with a horse.
That's right. Leg like, one
check
of his.
Out my penis in a war play.
That's why I'm not that convinced, because I feel like there is this thing where the kids want to break out, and you know what? More power to him for working so hard at it, because he is working really hard at it. But when I watch him in other things, I just can't get Harry Potter out of my head. It's very, very hard for me. If you think one day he's going to hit that role where it's like boom, pulled out of it, you know, and doesn't have to do Shatner, but instead goes full, you know, Picard. And can do other things.
Well, I mean, Harrison, it's funny you mentioned Harrison Ford, because Harrison Ford's the template. You know, you can't get any bigger than Han Solo until you have Indiana Jones. And now you're double pegged in there, not to mention with sci-fi people who worship Blade Runner, rightly, as amazing. And so you look at him as Deckard. So now you have, like, two characters, or three characters in descending order that are, like, cultural touchstones. And yet he continued to have a career. Now, he never had an Oscar-winning career. But he certainly was a huge, and it remains to be a huge movie star, to the point where now we're like, we got to shoot around what could quite possibly be the biggest movie ever, because his 70-year-old ass can't keep his legs in order.
Right. You got to watch out for those doors, dude. But yes. And so if your claim is this, that Daniel Radcliffe is just inching toward whatever his Indiana Jones is. Because he's already got the Star Wars, right? He's got the Harry Potter. The Indiana Jones comes later. Then maybe I can see this happening. I just know, statistically speaking, very, very difficult for child actors to transition that way. He is doing all he can, though, and my hat is off to him. And I'll watch it. I will give him the benefit of the doubt every time, because I think Daniel Radcliffe's got his head on straight. I do not think he is psycho as a result of the childhood acting period. I think those kids were treated well, and I think they were treated with lots of respect, and we're very much not the let's use these tools to our gain kind
best
of scenario.
Possible scenario, right? Because they all came out good. Like, they all came out not being total freak shows.
Yeah.
Which is amazing that not one of them spun off the rails. Here's the reason why I'm buying in on Radcliffe. It would have been very easy for him to just cash in doing romantic comedies, and romantic dramedies that played into the audience that loved the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just say mostly young women, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He has a whole career doing that if he wants to. But he's very much searched for weird roles. You always see him attached. I think he was like in this very hotly thought of script about Frankenstein. He was like attached as Igor. You know, it's like these weird kind of roles that he's looking for that aren't what he could do, because he could slot in just playing either Harry Potter-esque stuff in terms of fantasy or romance that would really cater to that genre. And yet he's tried to do more interesting acting stuff to the point where I gotta feel like he's a better, he has a great capacity to be a better actor than somebody like Harrison Ford while still retaining a lot of that charisma.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. He obviously has the work ethic for it, and that's, I think, maybe 90% of this. And I think he knows that this is a hard thing to break out of. Like, he's not under any weird illusions that he is special and that he's not going, he's going to be able to just sort of sit back and the roles will come. He needs to go out there and be daring and take hard roles and interesting stuff. And
he'll show that ding-a-ling.
Oh, yeah.
Knows that.
Yeah.
He ain't got to hack his iCloud.
Whip it out.
Right. Theater. Just right there out for you. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Don't need no special.
Come on down to Old Broadway.
He doesn't need any special spell to whip out old Jimmy there. He'll just do it.
No.
But yeah, like I watched Noah, which I liked. I know a lot of people didn't like Noah. I thought Noah was rad because it was weird. Weird as hell. And I really liked it. And Emma, what's her name? What's her name?
Watson.
Watson was in it. And I thought, okay, big moment here. Let's see if I can only think Hermione the whole time. And I didn't. She was great. She was real, really good and totally bought into it and didn't have a problem with it at all and never once went, oh, man, I'm having Harry Potter flashbacks here. Like, I feel like she kind of earned her way out of that as well. Now, the real...
Were they doing American accents in that movie?
No. They were all doing whatever their natural one was.
So she had a British accent and...
And Russell Crowe
just growled.
Well, Russell Crowe's was still kind of jammed somewhere between British and Australian because you know how he does that one for Gladiator. It's kind of that mix. It was like that. I think that's just him not being good at accents is what that turned out to be. but I really like that movie. It's totally worth seeing, by the way. You should not, don't let all the weird hype and anti-hype affect you because it's just an odd view. It's a very odd thing. It's interesting to watch. Anyway, my point is, the point is this. Let's get down to the brass tacks here. Those two doing okay for themselves. Seem like they've got a trajectory that we can all get behind. Rupert Grint, though. What are we doing with Rupert Grint? Where's he going to go? What's going to happen with that kid?
What did we expect from the third most popular person from the Harry Potter movies, right? Like, I'm sure he's doing some nice stuff out in England, and it's just not on our radar, and I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah.
You know, like... I feel like they don't all have to be Oscar contenders. You know, I feel like if Emma Watson and Daniel Radcliffe at some point, you know, become kind of these staples of Hollywood and are well reviewed and thought of, then I think that's pretty much the best possible case scenario that you spun off two Oscar worthy stars out of a kids movie franchise. That's about as high of a bar that you can aim.
If you want to, speaking of these childhood stars that go on to nothing or onto something, if you want to be the saddest possible state of mind when you're done reading it, go look and see what happened to any of the kids involved with Hook, the Peter Pan Robin Williams deal. I watched it with the kids not a few days ago. Movie does not hold up, by the way.
No.
It's
in fact,
kind
speaking
of, bad.
Of stinky Steven Spielberg movies, of which I do include AI. I mean, as much as I understand, you know, that there is a certain love for it, it's not a good movie.
No, you're probably right, but I like the weirdness of it. It's like me and, you know what, it's not far off from Waterworld for me. Waterworld is not a good movie, but I love Waterworld so much.
Mm-hmm. But there was that run where Steven Spielberg just kind of sucked eggs and... I was talking with Andrew Main, and he rewatched Hook. And he's like, that is easily Spielberg's worst movie. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Do we live in an alternate universe in which The Lost World didn't get made? Because that movie is hot garbage.
Wait, Lost World? Oh, yeah.
Jurassic Park 2, yeah. I'd still say Hook is worse than Lost World.
I would agree. Yeah, I think it's worse than that.
I haven't seen Lost World in a while.
Yeah.
I can't look at... There's something about my talking about my generation, that like there's a lot of fond memories. I'm not saying that it's well founded, a lot of fond memories about Bangarang and You're Doing It, Peter, and a lot of quotes, a lot of lines from Hook that have stood the test of time, at the very least, as a delivery vehicle for those memories.
It's a great kids movie. Yeah, it's a great kids movie I saw when I was 20. and I was not the demographic. And because I wasn't the demographic, but I was for so many previous efforts by Spielberg, it fell flat on me then. And then watching it again, it really fell flat on me now. But, you know, Nick enjoyed it. He's 14. He thought it was great. Thought that was a good fun time. He did mention that he didn't understand why they had to shave Robin Williams when he took his shirt off. And I said, well, let's watch one where they do.
Here's my favorite thing with Hook is that you can just imagine whatever the studio exec who gets the script. And he's like, so wait, who were you casting as Tinkerbell? It's like, oh, Julia Roberts. She's hot. Oh, man, she's the biggest thing in Hollywood right now. You know, Pretty Woman's right around there. She's a super sexy lady.
Yeah.
And so what do we have her doing? Well, she just flies around. She's the size of a thimble. What? You don't see her, like, run around or be sexy or anything? It's like, no, she just kind of flies around and says stuff. And she's on green screen for most of the movie.
Yeah.
Hell no.
Yeah.
You're going to have one scene where for no apparent reason she comes to full size and then goes right back to being Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
We're getting one scene where she has very odd sexual tension with Peter Pan.
Yeah.
And then we're going right back to where it was before.
It's very weird. But every one of those kids went on to nothing. And there's some talented kid actors in that movie. And I don't know why they didn't go on to something better, but they just did nothing after that. And I don't mean just some of the Lost Boys kids, but like the main kids who are pretty good just... Zip, nada. Now, if you're going to talk about worst Spielberg movies, I can't even believe that any of us are even arguing about this. Crystal Skull is the worst thing he did.
Yeah. That one, I just got a whiff
good
of that
point.
One. Just,
good
just talked about it, and it was just like, oh, it was like overpowered.
Yeah, like driving into a skunk that just got hit by a car. You just can't avoid it. It's such a bad, bad, bad movie.
Yeah.
On every point, and I'm even taking out of that my predilection for Indiana Jones and that whole thing being one of my favorite things of all time, and then having it ruined so badly. Even if you take that out of it and how much that affects my hatred of the movie, it's still just a piece of shit.
It's hard to do fun. Fun is hard.
Yeah.
You know, like it's easy to talk about. It's easy when we know it. But it's hard to do.
Yeah.
And that is
it's like humor.
Of,
it's like humor in video games. Very, very difficult to pull off. But
you know,
when someone
it's
does,
why,
it's amazing.
Why Marvel has the franchise that they do and why it's so silly that you read these reports that DC is saying that all of their scripts can will be rejected if they contain any jokes.
Yeah. What are they doing? If that's true, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Ugh.
It's been reported by too many people not to be true.
Yeah.
Too many different sources not to be true.
It's probably
which
true.
Is insane.
Yeah.
We're talking about people in their underwear, like punching fake things. How can you not make jokes about that?
Yeah. It's pretty bad. It's a pretty sad state if that's really, truly
the number
the line.
One movie of the year features a professional wrestler. Painted from head to toe. How are we not going to, how we're supposed to look at that and say, yes, oh, we can truly get a startling portrait of the human condition thanks to The Rock as Black Adam.
Did you read, I read today, this is just a side note before we close out here, that Batista is apparently in talks for a major part of his character Drax the Destroyer as being part of the next Avengers movie. That there's some
really?
Big, huge, yeah, like more than a cameo.
Everything. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know how true it is or where that's coming from, but, you know, I'll bet there's a lot of scrambling on all sides to go, all right, you guys, we had a monster hit.
How can we shoehorn these guys into some projects currently in development?
Yeah, you can see
that. I mean,
that.
Yes, all of it. I want all of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
I'm cool,
and
man.
I want Drax... Put Drax in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I think it's a better movie.
Yeah, it is. Put
just
him in
go
the...
ahead and see, just CG him right in there.
Yeah, put him in the fridge. Have him withstand the nuclear blast.
Yeah.
There's your movie right there.
You just have him standing outside the fridge, and Indiana Jones looks at the fridge, and then Drax goes, get in the fridge. And that's it. Just have him just standing there and just and like not, don't even make it good. Just MS Paint him right in there. You don't have to have him there.
I like that. I like that Drax would be familiar with the shortening of the word refrigerator as fridge. I like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just make him break character. Doesn't matter. It's going to be a better movie.
That's so
it's
true.
It's going to be a better movie for having Drax.
Yeah. There's no doubt about any of this. Justin, always a fun time to talk. I hope you have a fun time in Florida. And anything else you want to mention before we boot you out?
Yeah, you can go ahead and download the Jury Podcast. That's on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere that you find podcasts. You can go get it. JuryTalks.com is where you go for that. You can follow me on Twitter, Justin R. Young, or Instagram or Snapchat. It's all Justin R. Young.
That was fun doing DTNS with you and me and Brian. And
that was fun. Yeah,
had a good time.
That was super great. That was a really, really, really fun time.
Yeah.
Tom should disappear off the face of the earth.
Well, time will tell. Justin Robert Young, everybody, stay safe, be good, and don't let your beard intimidate anyone.
I love you guys. Bye.
Oh, bye.
Bye.
Aww. That's where he gets out of the car and goes into the strip club. I know how he works.
At 10 in the morning or wherever he's at.
What time is it there? I guess it'd be 12. Oh, my noon. Gosh, it's 10:07. Is this the longest show we've ever done?
No.
Okay.
No, we've done long.
We're going to do these emails so fast your heads are going to spin.
We are going to do emails. Wow.
Here's
all
how
right.
fast it's going to go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Brian, they're brought to us by
Dazon Daldwin. Hello, Scott and Brian. I just published my first comic book, Dazon Daldwin, on Comixology. So look for it there or go to dombardal.com and click on the banner there. Love drawing while listening to the show.
Howdy. I am a female from Dallas, Texas, and my fiance introduced me to the show fairly recently, about 2 years ago. That's not that recent. This is Titania, who wrote the synthesis in. I absolutely love it. You make my long transit rides tolerable and less dull. Keep up the great times. I do have one concern that hopefully gets brought up in a future show. The 2 years I have listened to the show and not once have either of you mentioned Venture Brothers. Just what I noticed, and I think it's an amazing show. Any thoughts? I love Venture Brothers. It's fantastic. I don't know why we've never brought it up.
And it's another one that's on my list. Actually, we had to answer a question about Venture Brothers this last weekend, and I did remember that Patrick Warburton's character is named Brock, and that got us a point. So
Brock is awesome. And you know what's great about Brock? He's the one that taught me. There was a guy who died on screen, and the guy who died on screen was the looked like Brace Banion from the original Johnny Quest, which was kind of his character.
Right.
And he goes, the guy dies and he goes, okay, wait for it. And then the body goes and craps itself.
Oh.
And he goes,
nice.
They never tell you about that, but that happens every time.
Nice.
He's awesome in there.
What's Venture Brothers streaming on? Is that like
Netflix?
Netflix, cool.
Yeah,
I'm all over it.
Probably Amazon too. I'm not sure, but I know Netflix for sure. Final email. We got one more. Here you go. See how quick these are? Hey, Licorice Hater and Music Maniac.
Woo-hoo.
We know which ones we are from that. Chris W. says, yesterday was a super long day for me. I wasn't feeling too hot. Main allergies plus a cold. I was missing my mother, who passed away in November, on the way home from work last night. Overtired and overanxious, I got a chance to relax and listen to TMS during the 40-minute drive. I laughed like I never have before. You guys always know how to cheer me up, even though we've never met or spoken. Thanks to both of you for helping me through my yesterday, and thanks for being a huge inspiration to continue working on a website that I edit at MoreGeek. That's MoreGeek.com. I don't mind mentioning it on the air. He says you don't have to, but I'd love to. All the best from a faithful listener, Chris W. from Suddenly Chilly, Maine.
Aw.
Suddenly Chilly is my favorite canned chili.
It's my favorite book, Shield Show.
Nicely done. They changed that later, though. They got sued or something.
Well, it wasn't Suddenly Susan anymore?
No, it was Suddenly Susan. I meant that. It used to be Suddenly Maine, and then they changed it.
Oh, gotcha.
It was a bad joke. I went way too far on that one. Thank you all for your emails, and thank you for that. That's a very nice sentiment. I always like to hear from you guys. Sentiment, not sediment. That's not very nice sediment.
Yeah, no. Ooh.
Nicole's rubbing off on me. That's going to do it. Let's get the hell out of here. Thank you all for being here. We'll be back tomorrow with, I assume, a Therapy Thursday and a regular Thursday setup of the show, including the TMS PM edition, which is brought to you by patreon.com/TMS, where you can support us for very little money. A little bit a month is all you got to toss in there. Like everybody else, check out some of the rewards and the levels and the unlocks, and you too can be a supporter of the show. If you're getting all this stuff for free, hey, pitch in just whatever you can. We'd love it. Helps the show keep running. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Our email address, themorningstream@gmail.com, on Twitter, @morningstream, @ScottJohnson, @Coverville. Brian will now give us a song.
Well, before you even ask, there will be a Coverville today.
Oh, yeah, because I was totally going to.
And celebrating the birthdays of Peter Cetera with a Chicago cover story, the birthday of Stephen John Kilby with a Church cover story. Love the Church. Unguarded Moment is one of the best songs of the 80s. And celebrating the birthday, Morton Harkett with an A-ha cover story. So Chicago, Church, and A-ha, jam-packed all into one episode of Coverville. Today, 2 p.m., coverville.com/live, the only time zone that matters.
Awesome, man. Sweet. I'm in.
All right.
I'm in.
Now music.
Yeah.
Music. So I got music for you.
All right.
Thorin wrote in and said, "Dear Shasta and Barks, no special occasion. Just heard the awesome cover on last night's almost watchable episode of HBO's Leftovers. Don't endure the show, bros, Thorin." This is what brought up that discussion earlier this week.
Yeah.
I happen to love The Leftovers, but I can see how, you know, with any show, I can see how people wouldn't like it, and it's totally fine.
Sure. Everyone's got their opinions. By the way, Thorin sent this clip in to describe the show. I'd like you to hear it real quick. This is his review of The Leftovers.
Gay!
All right. Thorin, that doesn't mean what it used to mean, okay?
That's not appropriate anymore, Thorin. Not anymore. My gosh, I can't believe you'd go there.
Politically incorrect.
Anyway, this is a cover of Metallica's Nothing Else Matters by Apocalyptica, and it's an instrumental version that plays at the very beginning of the episode, and I think it was a very, very powerful episode, and one that the way I gauge it is if I think about a show for the next couple days after seeing it, then it's a powerful show, and nice. It's a good show,
nice.
You know, good or bad.
Sure.
Anyway, this comes from their album Inquisition Symphony, which came out in 1998. It's a cover, like I mentioned, Metallica's Nothing Else Matters.
Ah, just like tomorrow, tuning in. Nothing else matters but that. Be here, everybody.
Right.
Thanks for being here. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you then.
Thank you.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.